in.
It is 3:06 on the Central Coast. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Hometown Radio, finally up and running for this Thursday, January 18th, 2007. My name is Dave Congleton. We're delighted to be with you this afternoon. We're going to be here all the way till 7 o'clock. Tom Matson continues on a well-deserved vacation up north, celebrating his 75th birthday, hanging out with the family. Carson, have you been following the police report out of the Bay Area? I haven't read any reports of an old guy being busted.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen anything.
So I guess Tom's behaving himself.
Allegedly.
Once again, we're pleased to have Carson Britz working with us today. Carson, you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Are you learning anything this week?
I'm learning tons. I'm going to miss this. This is fun. I like it.
Other than you don't want to make sure you don't want a career in AM radio.
I wouldn't mind, actually. Okay. I honestly wouldn't.
Just don't go to that station in Paso Robles and, you know, have real heart problems.
Dave, I appreciate you looking out for me.
Because they may can you on the eve of your quintuple bypass surgery.
Oh, Dave.
But there you go. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's one of those kind of days. Tomorrow there will be no show. We're just going to have a best of Dave playing with your permission. Because Tom will not be back until Monday, and I'm off on my big adventure. Bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'll just say one thing about it, then we'll move on. I woke up this morning, and I just said, you know, I'm ready to go. I've been thinking about this trip to Antarctica since August, and it's been playing on my mind. And, you know, you just can't worry about these kind of things. You just have to go and enjoy the moment, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So we're going. We're going today, too. I find it interesting about today's show. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different segments, and 90% of the guests are making their very first appearance on this broadcast. Straight ahead, Galen Whitley Keith, Cal Poly graduate, has written a book about her great-grandfather, the so-called founder of Hollywood. He's also called the father of Hollywood. That's the name of the book. We'll talk about H.J. Whitley and his impact on Southern California. You know from listening to the show, I'm a big fan of Southern California history. Looking forward to having author Galen Whitley Keith on this broadcast. Also, let's check in with our friends from Charter Public Access and give them a chance to respond to recent charges raised on this show about alleged racism and try to figure out why every other show on Charter Public Access stars a member of the Bierce family. I don't get that. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Dawn Lake from Code Pink will join us for a few minutes to talk about a rally that is happening tonight. Also, we'll meet a couple of gentlemen from Morro Bay who are trying to put together a maritime museum. Stay with us throughout the week, the Dave Congleton Show, or your hometown radio talk show, where we stream live on the Internet. Check us out at 920kvec.com. If you miss any part of today's show, we also podcast. The tape is rolling. We'll post it on the website tomorrow. Anyway, first up, we always like to put the spotlight on local authors, particularly when they have compelling stories to tell. Destry Ramey certainly fits that category, but I think she's chosen to tell her story in a different way. The name of her book is What About Me? The Adventures of Hunter and Ramona Pug Series. Hi, Destry.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
How are you? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Put that microphone just a little bit closer to you, if you will, please. I'm looking at your schedule here. It looks like a week from Saturday, not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday, you're going to be very busy.
I am.
You got a signing at Barnes & Noble, Storytime, at 11 a.m., the one in downtown San Luis. Of course, that's the only one here. What do I know? And then later on that afternoon, you're going to be by the Novel Experience from 1 to 3. So what do you do with Children's Storytime? How does that work for a children's author?
Well, the children come up to the second floor, and during that time, I will be reading my book to them and also doing some signing if they decide to purchase one of the books from Barnes & Noble.
So you really want people to bring their children.
They can bring their children, and they can bring themselves.
I will bring the child within them.
Yes.
I mean, a good story appeals to people of all ages.
Absolutely.
All right. What should we know about you professionally? What about your background should we know before we talk about your book?
Well, I worked many years as a pediatric nurse practitioner. I was actually in private practice. I was also director of pediatrics for the Navy Nurse Midwifery Program and also worked for an international lactation program for developing countries. And I have been in contact with newborn babies all the way through college age for many, many years.
That sounds like about four books right there. Well, then how do we get to a book about pugs?
Well, just recently I underwent my third cancer. I carry the what's called the BRCA1 cancer gene, and I found it last October. So I went for prophylactic surgery and found that I had my third cancer at that time. And I had been writing this book, but during the time I was having my treatments and surgical procedures in Seattle, I had four little pugs who were my constant companionship, and they were loving and supportive and checking on me in a frequent way, and they were my healing energy. So at that point in time, I wanted to definitely complete my first book in the series.
Yeah. Let's back up a bit. How long have you been fighting the cancer?
Actually, my first cancer was when I was 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely not 28 years old anymore.
Right.
So
your adult life has been shaped by having cancer.
Absolutely.
Talk about that for a second, Destry. How does that feel to be shaped by cancer like this?
I've always been extremely optimistic about life. And I just kind of have always felt that you get little speed bumps and your character becomes better as you deal with different things that come through your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just intend to be around for a long, long time.
Right.
And I feel blessed that the gene was discovered, because had the gene not been discovered, and I have my sister to thank for that, who had her third stage breast cancer. I also lost another sister with breast cancer. And my son ended up with liposarcoma, and my dad had lung cancer. So
clearly runs in the family.
Genetically, I have a pedigree in cancer, actually.
Hmm. So when you stared it down the first time, did you expect it to come back? I mean, is that the case? It will come back?
No, okay. I really did not expect it to come back. The first time, actually, they were not very optimistic about my prognosis. I was given a year. My son was 9 years old at the time. I was a widow, and I had 18 months of chemo, and they just weren't optimistic. And in my mind, I just was not about to let go. So I fought it, and I did well, and I think I surprised them as well as I did myself.
What kept you going?
My son actually kept me going. You know, he was attention deficit disorder, and I loved him dearly. And
what also, a handful.
Yeah, and you know, you always think, you know, I had wonderful people that I could have, you know, had shared his life with him, but I wanted to do that. So I, without question, he was the reason I'm sure I am here today.
But we need to give some credit, a little credit, to the dogs.
Oh, the dogs. The dogs are wonderful. I adore my little, I call them my grand pugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they just, for this third cancer, and I mentioned him on the back cover of my book, two of them, Hunter and Ramona, of whom the first book is about, had a similar cancer 4 weeks before I came home from the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance.
I mean, your family has cancer. Even your dogs have cancer.
These are my son dogs, and it's amazing. You know, they were so empathetic to me, and, you know, you hear all the time how animals are so empathetic.
Right.
And that I would feel horrible if something happened that they were so empathetic that they acquired some of my cancer. But it was a similar cancer to mine, and all three of us are doing very well.
What about the pugs, and what attracted you to pugs? What about the breed?
Because my son had pugs. At first, you know, when he told me he was going to get a pug, they kind of looked like they got stopped real quickly in front of behind a truck or something.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure. They all looked like little gremlins.
Yeah.
But as you get to know them, they're so comical, and they're, you know, originally, were bred for royalty, and their history is really quite interesting. And consequently, I've just endeared myself to them because they were so loving.
What's more challenging, Destry, raising a son with ADD or four pugs?
Probably raising a son with ADD.
I would think four little pugs would be a handful.
Four little pugs are a handful, but so is an ADD, which will be one of my future books.
Yeah. You write that book. Send me a copy, will you?
I will.
Destry Ramey on the Dave Congleton Show. The name of the book is What About Me? Now, of course, we want people to come to the book signings a week from Saturday, but if they already have other plans, can't make it, how else can they get the book?
Amazon.com. If they go on Amazon.com and just type in my name, Destry Ramey, they can purchase the book. And also, it is at Barnes & Noble's and it borders
Novel Experience.
And Novel Experience.
So any place you get a book, you can go and order this. If a copy isn't there, they can order it.
Right. They can request it and they can get it.
Do you have a website yourself?
Yes, I do. It's DestryRamey.com.
DestryRamey.com. It is 3:16 on News Talk 920 KVC. Good afternoon. I'm Dave Congleton. We're here with author Destry Ramey. The name of the book is What About Me? We'll come back and continue the conversation. At some point, we're going to give away a free autographed copy. If we stick around for that. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. On the Central Coast here on News Talk 920 KVEC. Welcome back. I'm Dave Congleton. Along with Carson Britz, he's got the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. Taking a look at traffic, looks like that there is a collision. That collision in Buellton is still going on 101 southbound, just south of Buellton. So factor that into your commute today. Also, taking a look, there is a new, there's also a collision at Highway 1 at San Antonio Road going east. Also, just in, a no-injury accident at Casa Real Place at Camino del Oro in San Luis Obispo. So no details on that. It just came through the computer. So there's your update for traffic. As far as weather is concerned, looks like tonight mostly clear skies around the Central Coast. Expect lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s are expected. This portion of the Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by eDigital. Someone you know is celebrating an anniversary or birthday soon, so why not surprise them with their life story using photos, slides, video, or projected film converted to a DVD with titles, animated photos, and music. Call eDigital Memories at 541-0269 for more information. And now you're up to date. That's a look at time saver traffic and weather together on the Dave Congleton Show for News Talk 920 KVEC.
All right, Carson, thank you very much. By the way, on Monday, my first set of guest hosts from 3 to 5 will be Dr. Scott Robertson. And then from 5 to 7, it will be San Luis Obispo Police Chief Deborah Linden. They'll do a great job. Tom will be here on Monday. Carson's going to be engineering the show. So Hometown Radio will be alive and well. Stay with us throughout the week. It is the Dave Congleton Show, and we are your hometown radio talk show. We say that because we mean it. We're back with author Destry Ramey. The name of her book is What About Me? From the Adventures of Hunter and Ramona Pug Series. As it implies, Destry, first in a series of books.
Yes, it is a first. I'm wanting to address many children's issues through the eyes of a very warm and loving little pug, Hunter, and his siblings, which is Ramona in the first book. He has two other siblings, Kippy and Egress. And some of the issues...
Kippy and Egress?
And Egress, right. Oh, yeah. Kippy and Egress. Kippy is the ADD.
Okay.
And actually, Egress was rescued. Egress was abused and neglected. And so these are some of the children's issues that I want to address.
And she will be signing books, not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday. That's Saturday, January 27th at 11 a.m. She'll be at the Barnes & Noble in downtown San Luis. And then that afternoon from 1 to 3, she'll be over the Novel Experience. In both cases, she encourages you to bring children. How about pugs? If you have a pug, can you bring your pug?
Oh, I love to see pugs. I need a pug fix because my little grand pugs live in Seattle.
And so you, my experience with pugs is you just can't have one. If you have one pug, you got to have at least two.
They keep each other company tremendously. And especially if people are working, I would encourage them having two. I do see people with one pug, but... What happens is that you have one and they're so irresistible that you see another one and you want it.
The human-animal bond seems to be particularly close with pugs.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a basset hound. There's something about a pug that really brings out the human heart.
Those big eyes, they'll get to you every time. They have those giant eyes and the loving, comical ways they have about them, too.
Well, it sounds like you've done so many interesting things in your life, Destry. What made you decide and how did you decide to take all these experiences and put them in a children's book?
Well, with many years of being a nurse practitioner and dealing with children and seeing many of the issues that they had to deal with within their life or their obstacles, I wanted to find a way that I could reach these children and there seemed no better way than through the warm, loving eyes of a little pug. Mm-hmm. Hunter has endeared himself to me, and in fact, during the time I was going through my chemotherapy, Hunter would come up and always be checking on me, and I think many people find that to be true with many of their animals.
Yeah, but now you had to take the second step, though, and say, I'm actually going to write a children's book.
Yes.
I mean, have you ever done anything like this before?
I've written medically and educationally, when I was director of pediatrics for the Navy Nurse Midwifery Program, I wrote an infant care book to help parents deal with it. And I think that there's so many parental, guidelines out there that so many children need a bright, colorful book. I've splashed a lot of color on the pages, with bright illustrations and little puppies that can endear themselves to them so that they can be taught certain that they are not alone for one thing and how to deal with certain things without being lectured to.
I mean, this is a genre. I don't have any children. I remember the children's books from when I grew up. So what makes a good children? How do you go about doing this? What makes a good children's story?
You know, I just started out, and to tell you the truth, I really wasn't sure exactly how I was going to go about it.
Yeah.
I read a lot of children's books. I asked a lot of teachers, a lot of parents, you know, what is it that you like to hear? I read my story to a lot of children, had a lot of children read it and give me their feedback.
And what'd they say? Those are tough critics.
They are tough critics. They like the bright colors. They like the pugs. They like the storyline because it was warm and compassionate. In this particular book, you meet both Hunter and Ramona, and basically what happens is that a man comes to adopt two little pugs. He wants two little girl pugs, and Hunter must endear himself to the new owner, and he does this by whatever antics he can because of the fact that not only is Ramona his sister, but Ramona is his best friend, and he does not want to think of life without her.
Oh.
It is an awe.
But, you know, it's a children's book, but it's got some pretty serious issues there.
It is, and it's all based on a true story. Actually, Hunter and Ramona came from Spain. They were my son's pugs, and everything that I will be writing in the future series are going to be based on true stories as well.
Hmm. So what was the strategy behind the illustrations?
I had a friend who actually never had done any children's books whatsoever. He was originally from Oregon, and he has done a lot of wall mural sculptures and things like this, and I had asked him if he would be interested, and he said he'd give it a try. And as soon as I had seen his illustrations, I liked them. I had tried about three or four other illustrators, and they could not quite grasp what I wanted to be grasped for my book.
And what worked with this guy? Is it because of the color? The
color,
intense color?
The brightness, and he listened to what I wanted for my pictures. I think a lot of it was that as well.
So the author has some say over this.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to produce your book, then you want the illustrations to capture the words that you're trying to express.
And the name of the book is What About Me? The Adventures of Hunter and Ramona. It's part of a series all based about pugs. Destry Ramey is on the Dave Congleton Show. She's going to be signing this book a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Barnes & Noble in San Luis Obispo. Also, the novel experience that same afternoon from 1 to 3. Come on by, say hi, buy the book, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Let's get a hook here. Get a hook around Valentine's Day.
It is. It's a wonderful book. And as soon as you see Hunter and Ramona, there is a photograph of the two little pugs in the back of the book. Actually, on the back cover, there is one of all three of us, the two of them growing up, me with my red wig because I was going through chemotherapy and had no hair at the time. Yeah. And then there is the picture of the two little pugs, Hunter and Ramona, as puppies. And when people come to the signing, if you decide on a book, Hunter was good enough to walk on several pieces of paper so I could acquire his
paw
print.
Explain this. You got the paw print here. She brought this to show me.
Yes. So Hunter may not be here. I thought it would be too difficult for him to sign everybody's book, but I do have his paw print that Hunter will be signing with as well.
And I also understand that you're going to donate some of the royalties to Pug Rescue?
50% of my royalties are going to Pug Rescue, and future books, actually, the royalties are going to be going to either Pug Rescue or to children's programs. It's one of those pay forwards. I feel truly, truly blessed that I've been given a third chance, and I want to give back.
How's your health now? How are you doing?
I'm in remission. I just had my three-month follow-up December 21st, and they say I'm doing well.
Wait, so that's what it's about now, Destry? Every 3 months you get checked up?
Every 3 months I go to Seattle and have a checkup.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so was the book itself, was it difficult to write?
It was.
Or did the story just flow out of you?
You know, the story was there and it flowed from me. However, the actual writing, putting things in the present so it would be appropriate for children, learning about a lot of descriptive words and adjectives so that children could absolutely identify with Hunter and Ramona.
Because you got to make it age appropriate, don't you?
Absolutely.
That's the problem. I can write for adults. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I gotta dumb this word down a little bit here. I gotta remember my audience. I'm not sure I can make that transition.
Right. And actually my book goes from, all the way from preschoolers all the way up to third and fourth grade. Although I have found adults that have enjoyed it too, so.
A good story is a good story is a good story.
Yes, that's true. And pug lovers absolutely love it. The one thing is that there are not hardly any pugs children's books out there. There's many books about pugs and the stories of pugs and as far as an actual story of a pug, there isn't. And as there isn't,
so you have the market cornered.
Right now, I hope so. At least there's no future pug series, as far as I'm aware.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to Fox News and find out what's happening in the world. We'll also check in with Carson and get the update on time saver traffic and weather together. And then we'll spend another segment with Destry Ramey talking about her great book called What About Me? And we'll give away a free autographed copy to a listener here on Hometown Radio. We're live. We're local. We're back after Fox News. We're glad to have you with us this afternoon right here on News Talk 920 KVEC. It is 3:35 on the Central Coast. Good afternoon. Happy Thursday. I'm Dave Congleton. Along with Carson Britz, he's got the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. Still have those two collisions that we were telling you about earlier. Traffic collision down in Santa Maria at Highway 1 at San Antonio Road East. There's that collision. Looks like they're trying to get it cleaned up, though, so hopefully that won't be in your way for too much longer. Also, going down and taking a look at Casa Real Place at Camino del Oro in San Luis Obispo. There's also another traffic collision. No details on that right now, but if you're headed out that way, just make sure and factor that in this afternoon. Looking at weather tonight, mostly clear skies around the Central Coast. Lows are expected in the upper 20s to mid 30s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny in the mid-morning and then becoming partly cloudy throughout the rest of the day. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s are expected. Currently, it's 60 degrees in Paso Robles, 60 degrees in San Luis Obispo, and 62 degrees in Santa Maria. And that is a look at your time saver traffic and weather together. I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KVEC.
What's the temperature at KPRL? I think it's about 5 above. They're cold.
I'm not touching that one, Dave.
They're cold. That's what I hear. Right. Thanks, Carson. Straight ahead on this broadcast, Jack Hunter, Larry Newland will join us from Morro Bay. Talk about the Morro Bay Maritime Museum. That's like what they'd like to see happen. Don Lake from Code Pink will update us about a rally taking place tonight. We'll chat with some folks from Charter Public Access about what's happening on the Public Access channel. Also, another author at the end of the show, Galen Whitley Keith, a Cal Poly graduate and great-granddaughter of H.J. Whitley, the man who founded Hollywood. She's written a fascinating biography of him. Stay with us throughout the week, The Dave Congleton Show. We love authors. Destry Ramey is here. The name of her book is What About Me? The Adventures of Hunter and Ramona. First in a series, you can meet Destry Saturday, not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday, January 27th, 11 a.m. at the Barnes & Noble, downtown San Luis, or the Novel Experience at 1 to 3 the same day. She's going to be very, very busy. Have you done a book signing before?
This is my first book signing.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
You've sent out the mailers. All your friends are going to show up.
I hope so. I really hope so. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone.
The lesson I've learned is that you will be surprised who shows up. First, the people that you expect to show up won't show up.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be surprised by who does show up. It's a fascinating experience.
Oh, that I'm looking forward to.
My
that.
First book signing was incredible. I had the novel experience. I think I sold like 55 books. I was wow. like, oh man, I can do this. Then I went over to Bakersfield. One person. But thankfully that one person showed up. But you know, it's just a crapshoot for the book signings.
It is.
But here's a chance for your friends and new fans to come out and see you and support you and thank you for writing this book.
Thank you.
And that's the thing you want to stress. This has been a fun experience for you, not being here today. I know it's like pulling teeth for you, even though you contacted me. You just the whole thing about doing the book and seeing the difference it can make with young people, you like that part of it.
Any way that I can touch a child's life or a pug's life, as far as that goes, or any animal, is positive for me.
And pugs are good dogs for kids?
Pugs are wonderful dogs.
They're not biters. They're not yippers.
No, they are not. They are not. They might just lick you occasionally and snort a little bit, softly snort. But they're a lot of fun.
I had that problem with Tom when he was here. He would softly snort during the show. Now, this is the first in the series. What other issues are you going to be tackling with this book, Destry?
Actually, I want to cover a lot of children's issues, and some of the issues that I'm planning on doing are. The second book is called A Birthday Surprise. I've already written it. It's been illustrated, and it deals with self-esteem. The third book, Why Am I Dark, talks about cultural diversity. And then I want to deal with special needs, abuse and neglect, since egress had that, and attention deficit disorder, since our little Kippy.
What are we having a Cat in the Hat? Why can't we even have a Cat in the Hat book?
I know it for sure.
Jeez, it's a downer.
Well, I don't want it to be a downer. And the thing is, it's going to come out positive with the pugs because there is a
Cat in the Hat box.
Yes. But it's to look at positive ways of dealing with some of the issues that children are having to deal with in today's world. Mm. And sad to say, they are having to deal with a lot.
You remember children's books from when you were growing up? What are the stories you remember?
I remember, like, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. And
the fun
I
stuff.
Love Dr. Seuss, yes. And, you know, these books hopefully will be fun for the children because they're brightly illustrated. They're very colorful. Hunter is warm and loving, and there's a positive experience with the end of each book here, for sure.
So what you're not trying to hit them over the head with heavy themes, but you do give them something to think about.
I give them something to think about, but the books are fun.
In just a minute here, we're going to do a giveaway. We've got an autographed copy of What About Me? The Adventures of Hunter and Ramona that we're going to give away. And if you don't win today, but if you want a book, you can go to any bookstore around and you can order the book. Or you can go online to Amazon.com. Your website is?
www.destryramey.com.
And you go to destryramey.com and you can get the book there. Or you can come see her on Saturday, January 27th at the Barnes & Noble at 11 a.m. in downtown San Luis. Or at the Novel Experience later that day from 1 to 3. It's going to be her first experience as a author. So come on out and support her, and let's say hi. When you're ready, Carson, we'll do the giveaway. Go check it out. We've getting reports about an earthquake up in Pozo. Small earthquake. You know anything else about it, Carson?
No, I'm on hold right now.
Right. Well, you're on hold. We can't do the book giveaway. What are we going to do?
I can talk.
It's done. Go ahead.
Okay.
I hung up.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. In my right hand, we've got a hardcover edition of What About Me? The Adventures of Hunter and Ramona. How would you like an autographed copy? We'll take the 10th caller, 543-8830, or 1-800-549-5832. That's 1-800-549-KVEC. Caller number 10. And we'll throw in a KVEC pet calendar. I think we have a few of those left. So caller number 10 will win What About Me? By Destry Ramey and a KVC pet calendar. How many of these books are you planning? How many issues are there?
10.
10?
10.
10?
Yes. I'm going to be bringing them up with me to Seattle, actually, May 12th. They have what's called the Pug...
It's my birthday.
Oh, good. Well, maybe you should come join us. It's called the Pugapalooza, and there was 1,000 pugs there last year.
Oh, my God. 1,000 pugs?
1,000 pugs. There was a lady actually that brought her 3 pugs from Japan.
All right. Let's meet our winner here. We're going to go all the way up to Paso Robles. Here is William on KVEC. Hey, William.
Hello.
Hi. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Do you have any pugs?
Good reading.
Do you have any pugs, William?
Yes, I do. I have two miniature pinchers.
Ah.
Min Pimp.
What are their names?
Shadow and Toby.
All right. That works for me.
All right.
All right. Congratulations, William. Let me put you on hold. Winner sheet and the name, and they get it here. Thank you, sir. Appreciate Carson. Congratulations to William. He scored What About Me? The Adventures of Hunter and Ramona, the first in a series of 10.
Yes.
10. If you had, what are you going to do differently the second time around? Did you learn any lessons from the first time?
Oh, I learned lots of lessons from the first one. Definitely, the fine tuning, the illustrations are being made. I'm going to have more illustrations with the second one, and I'm going to stay with the bright colors for sure.
So it's going to be like a trademark thing. A couple years down the road, we'll be able to spot one of your books, even without seeing the cover going, that's Destry Ramey.
Absolutely.
Bright colors.
Bright colors.
Pugs. The pug lady.
The pug lady.
Are you prepared for this, the pug lady?
I am.
Where are you going today? I'm going to go see the pug lady. She's at the Novel Experience. Oh, yeah, her.
You're going to love this. I ran into someone, actually, I'm also a flight attendant on SkyWest Airlines, that I ran into someone that brought their little chug. It was a combination chihuahua and pug.
Is a chug.
A chug.
They allow dogs on airlines now?
Yes. Yeah, so if it's a certain size, it has to be a small, or a service dog is always allowed, of course.
Are you flying tomorrow?
Not tomorrow, but the next day.
Okay, so I'll miss you.
You will.
You fly in 2 weeks tomorrow?
Yes, I am. Okay. So maybe I'll see you then.
You never know. Yes. I'll be the guy with a really scraggy beard.
You know, I want to thank you too, Dave. I take this opportunity to thank you for all that you have done for the animals and the rescuing. And I've read both your books, and I would highly recommend both your books as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I just wish it was a different way to write those books other than lose animals.
Yes.
But congratulations, Destry. I'm sorry I'm going to be missing your signings, but I'll be thinking about you. The main thing is just to have fun and celebrate the moment. All your friends will be showing up. It'll be a great opportunity for you. And you're going to meet some new people, too. So it's What About Me? You can get this book wherever you buy books, but she'd appreciate it if you would come by a week from Saturday at Barnes & Noble at 11 o'clock or from 1 to 3 at the Novel Experience that very same day. The website is DestryRamey.com. Anything else about the book we should mention?
No. Amazon.com is a good source, too, so please don't ignore that on your computer. So.
Get these books.
Yes, and thank you so much.
When do you expect the second one to be out?
By the summer of 2007 is my goal.
All right.
And just remember, this is our way of helping to make two little pugs, Hunter and Ramona, famous, and they were there for me, and I definitely want to be there for them.
And 50% of the royalties go to Pug Rescue.
That is true.
So here's the thing. I still like my idea. I was telling you off the air, since you're a flight attendant and you pass out magazines, you ought to sneak a couple copies of your book. Can I offer you a Time magazine? Or how about this new book, What About Me?
Right. If I could do that, I would.
I think it'd be very creative. Final thoughts, Destry.
The final thoughts is just never underestimate your little animal next to you. I really feel that the pugs were my healing energy. And when you think that you have the greatest of obstacles, you find that with the love and care of those little ones next to you, you can accomplish so much.
We wish you good health.
Thank you.
Thank you. It is 3:47 on News Talk 920 KVC. I'm Dave Congleton. Carson and I will continue with Hometown Radio after these messages. It is 3:50 on News Talk 920 KVEC. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dave Congleton. We go to Carson Britz for the very latest in Time Saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. Taking a look at traffic, looks like that we do have a traffic collision, a new traffic collision. It's Highway 46 at Jardine Road in Templeton. Not too many details on that. There is an ambulance responding, so do be aware of that. Also, at Casa Real Place at Camino del Oro in San Luis Obispo, there's also another traffic collision. It's a non-injury accident, but a traffic collision nonetheless that you do need to be aware of. Also, Highway 1 at San Antonio Road East in Santa Maria, traffic collision with an ambulance responding. That one looks like it was a little later, earlier in the day, so do be aware of that. Looks like they're in the final stages of getting that cleaned up. Taking a look at weather tonight, mostly clear skies around the central coast, expected lows in the upper 20s to mid 30s, and tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s are expected, currently at 60 in Paso Robles, 60 in San Luis Obispo, 62 in Santa Maria. This portion of the Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by Coastal Air Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Coastal Air Heating and Air Conditioning and get a 10% off the service. Coastal Air will clean and evaluate your unit with a thorough inspection, saving you costly energy dollars and major monetary headaches. And that is a look at your time saver traffic and weather together. I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KVEC.
Carson, what's the story? I heard Destry Ramey ask you. She was listening to you this morning on Coast FM. And apparently you had to get somewhere. What's the story?
Well, every Thursday, Dave, I go out and I do a different job for an hour in the morning. So I go to different businesses around the Central Coast and
really?
I try out a different job.
Really?
Yeah. And today I went to the Wyndham in Arroyo Grande. It's an assisted living facility.
Yeah.
Great people. We had so much fun. It was.
And what'd you do?
Today I was in the dining room and I served coffee. And I kind of Did table busing and such and socialized with a lot of the residents. It was a lot of fun. And then you call in? Yeah, so we do call-ins about four times an hour, and I call and I give an update as to how I'm doing. I've done everything from childcare to golf ball collecting, beer making. I've done chocolate making, a whole slew of things. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I should try that with Tom.
I don't know if you could get Tom.
I could send Tom out.
Why not?
Have them call in. What I'm missing from not listening to FM radio.
I know. I'm telling you. Hey, but if you go to KSTT.com, you can see all of it.
And we're all one part of the Big Clear Channel family. Amy's nice to you. I mean, she's kind of a prima donna.
Well, you know, she is a diva, definitely. But
you know, JJ did not leave voluntarily. She was pushed
by Amy. I distinctly remember Amy helping her pack her car. I thought that was kind of bizarre, but
get out of town. Stand by, Carson. We're going to do a giveaway here. We're welcoming a new sponsor to Hometown Radio. It's our friends at Edna Valley Market, located on the corner of Tank Farm Road and Broad Street here in San Luis Obispo. They're now open Saturdays. They're open for breakfast and lunch as well. They feature gourmet selections. I mean, we're not talking about ordinary food, folks. We're talking about gourmet selections prepared by executive chef Terrence Lynch. All sorts of daily specials. But, hey, but don't be intimidated by this. This is just your basic comfort food. They got sandwiches and wraps and salads and soups. You know, it's all good food here. Now, see for yourself. You can go to our website at 920kvec.com. And there's a menu. You can click on the Edna Valley Market icon and check out the menu for yourself. You can also download a gift certificate. Anybody who's got access to the internet, you can download a gift certificate for Edna Valley Market. Take a friend. You pay full price. Your friend eats for half off. I think that's a pretty darn good deal. Anybody walking in the door gets that deal with this gift certificate. Edna Valley Market features really great food in a comfortable atmosphere, prices that won't break the budget. We're pleased to have our friends from Edna Valley Market sign on and sponsor Hometown Radio. But hey, don't take my word for it. Go have lunch. Let me make that possible. We've got lunch for two. Lunch for two at the Edna Valley Market. I'm already on the boat. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here, but I'm already on the boat. We'll take caller 14, Carson. Find me caller 14, 543-8830. Or 1-800-549-5832. Caller number 14 will win lunch for two from the Edna Valley Market on the corner of Tank Farm Road and Broad Street in San Luis Obispo. And if we got any left, we'll throw in a KVEC pet calendar. I think we got a couple left. Beautiful calendars. I know it's late. You know, the year is already underway. I know, but we still have 11 and a half months to go. I don't know if there's a pug on the calendar or not. I like pugs, but I'd be afraid to have a pug because I'd always be stepping on it. Top of the hour, we got Fox News, and Jack Hunter and Larry Newland will join us to talk about this maritime museum that they'd like to see built in Morro Bay. Also, Dawn Legg from Code Pink will preview. What? Are you serious?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not giving this to you.
Okay.
Do you know who this is, Carson? No, you don't listen.
Well, she calls a lot. I know
this
that.
Is Marilyn. She wins every time.
No, I don't.
You do too.
No, I don't.
Have you won within the last 30 days? That's the rule.
No, that's all right. We only had that rule on the Hearst Castle tickets.
Oh.
How do you do this?
I don't. I tried for Melissa Manchester. I didn't get it.
Carson, we got to call the FCC. I swear.
We're going to get in trouble, dude.
Now, we love Marilyn, all right? I'm not attacking her, but my God.
Well, I get my social activities from KVEC.
Oh, no.
People are going to swear that this thing is rigged. I swear, this woman always wins.
No.
I blow my nose. I say caller number 3. It's Marilyn. We can say caller 53. It'd
well,
be Marilyn.
Doug and I compare to see which one of us wants to win.
And the only other person listening right now is going, well, Dave, that's only because 2 people listen to your show.
No, I know. 13 had to.
Oh, man.
Because I'm number 14, so there are 13 others listening.
Have you been to the Edna Valley Market, Marilyn?
No.
Okay.
I have not. I'm looking forward to it.
I think you'll enjoy the food.
I think so, too.
Executive Chef Terrence Lynch.
Now, where will you be eating tomorrow afternoon? En route?
I'm leaving. I'll be leaving tomorrow morning.
I know, but at this time tomorrow afternoon.
This time tomorrow afternoon, I will hopefully be in Dallas making my way to the plane to Santiago.
So you'll still be in the United States?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you another question.
Okay.
Would your mother like receiving cards while you're gone?
I'm not sure, Marilyn. If you have my number, you can call me tonight if you want.
I will do that.
I appreciate that. I don't know. She's just really in declining health.
I know.
And I don't know what to tell you about that. There was a time when I would have said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm sure that if I were in a hospital, I'd want to hear from people. It's just that she's so feeble right now. When I talked to her yesterday, I didn't even recognize her. It just made me feel terrible.
Okay. Well, I will call.
Call me tonight.
This evening, and you can tell me yes or no.
Be caller number 4 tonight, Marilyn, and I'll give you the address. Jeez. All right, let me put you on hold. I don't know why we're taking her information. We have it in cement. I'm an agnostic, you know, but I have to wonder sometimes. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is some kind of intervention, because I don't know how to explain the fact that she wins all the time. Jack Hunter, Larry Newland will join us after the news. Let's talk about Maritime Museum. Dawn Legg will also join us later on to promote the rally tonight for Code Pink. We'll meet some people from Charter Public Access and figure out what's happening on Charter Public Access. There have been some allegations about the racism. Other allegations about too much exposure to one particular family. What's up with that? Galen Whitley Keith has written a book about a great-grandfather who was the founder of Hollywood. Great shows lined up right here on News Talk 920 KVEC. We're live. We're local. We're back after the news. Stick around for hour number 2. It is 4:04 on the Central Coast. Welcome back to Hometown Radio. My name is Dave Congleton. We're kicking off the 4 o'clock hour for this Thursday, January 18th. Good to have you with us. Tom Madsen continues on a well-deserved vacation. He'll be back on Monday filling in the one, the only, Carson Britz with the latest in time-saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. Kind of a lot going on this afternoon in terms of traffic. Looks like that there a traffic collision in San Luis Obispo at Casa Real Place at Camino del Oro. There is a traffic collision there. No injuries to report, but there seems to be a little delay there. Also, Highway 46 at Jardine Road in Templeton. Looks like that there is
in Paso.
Oh, in Paso?
Paso.
Okay, sorry, it says Templeton. My apology.
That's right.
At Jardine Road, there is a traffic collision there, and traffic is backed up all the way to Paso Robles. So do factor that in and realize that looks like there's going to be a little bit of a wait there. Also, looking at Highway 1, just south of Kennett Road, there is a traffic collision. No details at this time. It is a new accident. So if you're traveling to any of those areas, be sure to note that you might have to take a little extra time. Also looking at Central Coast weather. Tonight, mostly clear skies around the Central Coast. Expects lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s are expected. Currently, it's 60 degrees in Paso, 60 degrees in San Luis Obispo, and 62 degrees in Santa Maria. And you're up to date with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. On the Dave Congleton Show, I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KVEC.
Thank you, Carson. By the way, a listener called in with an update. She said that accident on Highway 46 in Jardin seems to be a major accident. She was talking about several ambulances and police on scene, and that it looked like traffic was backed up all the way into Paso. So if you're going out of town, out of Paso on Highway 46, heads up. Looks like a major accident in Jardin Road there. So be careful. Yeah, help us help you too, by the way. If you know what's going on Highway 46, give Carson a call, 543-8830. That's a heavily traveled road, particularly this time of day, and we want to get you around safe. So give Carson a call at 543-8830 if you can help out. No show tomorrow. We're going to have a best of Dave. Tom will be back on Monday. I'm going to be taking off. I'll be gone for the next 2 weeks, but we've got some great guest hosts lined up. You'll enjoy the show. Hometown Radio will be alive and well. And then Tom and I will be back together on Monday, February 5th. We turn our attention now to Morro Bay. We have talked at length on this show about people who want to bring a railroad museum to San Luis Obispo. Now we're going to hear from two representatives of a group called the Central Coast Maritime Museum Association. They would like to set up the Morro Bay Maritime Interpretive Center. We say good afternoon and welcome to Larry Newland and Jack Hunter. Hi, guys.
Hi, Dave.
Thanks for being here. Larry, let's start with you. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Oh, Dave. Well, I grew up around here. I moved to Morro Bay about 1963, so it's close to my heart growing up on the waterfront and being kind of a waterfront kid. Several years ago, I got interested in this outfit. My cohort here, Jack, kind of talked me into it at the time, but I'm glad he did. I think it's a worthwhile cause, but
we'll get there.
But I've been interested in history all my life, and anything, especially anything to do with the water and boats and sailing and so forth. So I started with this group back in the early 90s, and I've been the president since the late 90s, and I've been chugging ahead on this project.
Jack, what should we know about you?
I'm an underwater archaeologist by training, and still have a number of projects going on in that regard. Morro Bay is a nice historical place. It's got a lot of tourism. It's a good place to showcase the history of the coast, and a small craft interpretive center as a beginning note would be a nice way to start, in my view.
Sounds like this idea has been festering for a while.
Yes, it has.
Who came up with the idea? How did this get started?
It was the late Brent Hunter.
Roberts.
Brent Roberts, excuse me. Jack Hunter, Brent Roberts. Actually, Jack was probably one of the founding members, but the founder, Jack, you can correct me, I think Roberts and another fellow.
I can make this a short story. I moved here in 92, and upon visiting the San Luis Obispo County Historical Society Museum, I was told that there was a fellow out in Morro Bay that wanted to start a maritime museum. So I was given his phone number. I gave him a call. We each pulled a few people together. We had our first meeting in 92, and it's been up and down since then. Brent, unfortunately, has passed away a year or so ago, and that was a surprise to all of us. But we continue on, and we have momentum, and we're going to build a facility.
What's the status of the project?
Right now, it's a little bit on hold, although we're closer now than we've ever been. There is a hearing, actually a city council agenda item, a new item for the Morro Bay City Council, January 22nd. And we're asking for about three things to occur at that meeting.
And those would be, Larry?
That would be a city council to authorize city staff to begin drafting a formal use agreement for the city-owned property on the waterfront, number one. Number two, the release of funds that were donated some years ago by the Fiber Optics Consortium in Estero Bay for the specific purpose of a maritime museum. And three, that they waive developer fees, which would be somewhere in the $5,000 or $6,000 range.
Is there a precedent for that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But we think that we can make a bona fide case for, you know, jumping out of the box a little bit and making a precedent for it.
And why don't you have this $50,000? Why don't you have access to that if it was donated to you?
Well, it was donated specifically for a maritime museum in Morro Bay,
right. And
that hasn't occurred yet.
Okay.
Some of the money was given to us up front. We've done things over the years. We sponsored an oral history program with UC California and Sea Grant, which is a foundation that does ethnographic and historical research. We sponsor the tall ships when they come to Morro Bay. They come on a regular basis now, but that's because we started that, the tall ship Endeavor, when it was here some years ago. That was our gig. We brought them in. Yeah. And, so we've been doing these things, but they've really been kind of a diversion to our main goal, which is building a site.
And what kind of response are you getting from the Morro Bay City Council? Larry, do they seem responsive?
They are, and they have been, former mayors and former city councilmen. We recently met with two of them. They were very, very responsive. And staff is immensely supportive. There just seems to be some logistical details having to do with loss of parking, liability insurance, opportunity costs that, you know, the city will have and
so
forth. The
devil is always in the details.
Yes.
Yeah. So Jack, where is the location?
Front Street parking lot, foot of South Street in, the Embarcadero.
Surf Street.
So that's down by the old PG&E?
Yeah,
Duke
right, right, just immediately south of the, power station.
So just south of the power station.
Mm-hmm.
Who owns that location now?
It's owned by the city.
Okay.
If you're standing at the Great American Fish Company and looking with your back to the water, look straight across the street, you'll see a bluff with stairs coming down the bluff.
Yeah.
There's a rectangular piece of property that juts out. It's about 80 feet wide, and it's actually the street right away. It's a surf street right away that goes down the bluff out towards the Embarcadero.
So that, so you would buy the property from the city?
No, we have at least.
You have at least.
Yeah, so, a long-term use agreement, like $1 a year or something.
Oh, I see.
Something of that sort.
And the city's open to that idea?
They have been, but again, the devil's in the details. Yeah. And, you know, cities are cautious about entering into something that could be long-term.
But they are a tourism city.
Yes,
and museums
are.
Bring tourists.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we believe that, you know, economic vitality can be strengthened and enhanced through exploiting your history. Yeah. And cultural assets. And look what happened in downtown St. Louis with the pedestrian mall in front of the Mission. Mm-hmm. You know, then Mayor Ken Schwartz caught a lot of grief for that, for getting rid of parking and so forth. It's been the genesis for a terrific downtown, and we think this could be the same thing for Morro Bay.
Absolutely. So, Jack, talk a little bit about the vision. What would be a maritime museum?
Well, initially we'll start with what we're calling Phase 1, which is we have a small collection of watercraft that we'd like to see brought up to show condition, and they would basically typify the types of watercraft that were in use on this coast the past 100 years or so, and things could lead from there.
Yeah. Such as, I mean, what kind of craft?
We have a tugboat, the Alma, that was historically significant in the rescue of the Montebello crewmen in 1941, mm-hmm. December, when they were torpedoed by the Imperial Japanese Navy off of Cambria. And that vessel is out of the water and on stays, and we on stands, and we will restore her. And we have the Spindrift, which is a Monterey Hall fishing boat that dates from the 1920s, and we would have her in show shape. And Larry, there's
we have a Coast Guard rollover boat. Was one that was used in Morro Bay, and it was sort of the progenitor of the boats they're using right now. But it's one of the few that's left.
Right. So you can see these boats actually on display.
Oh, yes. Right.
Where's the closest maritime museum?
There's one in Santa Barbara and one in Monterey.
Okay. So,
and if I may say, museums, maritime museums like lighthouses don't compete in the sense that they all have their turf. A lighthouse is put in a place because it needs a lighthouse, and a maritime museum does the same thing.
Yeah. So how's business at the Santa Barbara and Monterey museums?
They're making it. They've both been established a number of years now.
Right.
It's, you know, profit, of course, is not the motive, and so, but you do want people to donate to.
Want people to come.
And to show up, exactly. So therefore, you want displays to change, and you want to have functions that go on that bring people in. So these things have a life of their own, and we fully expect that once we have, to use the vernacular of the current day, our boots on the ground, that a number of other vessels that would be useful in our demonstrations of watercraft would also be donated to us. So
it's like the maritime history of the Central Coast.
Exactly.
It's a chance for people to come see some of the ships, presentations, that kind of stuff.
We like to think of our area of coastline being from Point Conception to Point Pinos.
Sure. 4:15 on News Talk 920 KVC. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dave Congleton here with Larry Newland and Jack Hunter, just two of many people who would like to see a maritime museum interpretive center established out in Morro Bay. We'll talk more about that. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. It's still KVEC. We have Fox News waiting for us at the bottom of the hour right now. Let's go to Carson Brentz for the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. Taking a look at traffic, we still have that Highway 46 in Paso, Highway 46 at Jardine Road. Had a listener call in and say, you know, if you want to take an alternate route, you can go up south on Golden Hill, then left at Union to bypass it, and you'll come out at Tobin James. And if you're headed westbound, make a left right there at Tobin James, and it'll bring you on round to Golden Hill Road, and then you can just take Golden Hill North back up to the 46. So it'll get you around, and hopefully get you on your way, so it won't be too much of a delay for you. Other than that, traffic is moving along smoothly in other areas of the county. Taking a look at Central Coast weather tonight, mostly clear skies around the Central Coast. Expect lows in the upper 20s to mid 30s, and tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s are expected. Currently, it's 60 in Paso Robles, 60 in San Luis Obispo, and 62 in Santa Maria. That is a look at your time saver traffic and weather together on the Dave Congleton Show. I'm Carson Brits for News Talk 920 KVEC.
Indeed you are. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I'm Dave Congleton. It's 419 on the Central Coast. We are back with Jack Hunter and Larry Newland. They are with the Morro Bay Maritime Interpretive Center. They want your support as they go before the Morro Bay City Council next week, and they try to get this idea a reality. I guess as I come back to you, Larry, what's taken you so long? I mean, it's 15 years.
Well, historically, this project was a lot larger. It was over 40,000 square feet, and the footprint actually extended onto the power plant company. And that happened right about the time that PG&E decided to sell, or they were ordered actually to divest some of their properties, and they sold the Morro Bay Power Plant. Mm-hmm. And things were going along good, then that happened. But then they started to look like there was promise with Duke Energy. And but then the city and the power plant, the company had a difficult time coming to some accord. We sort of got wrapped up into that Hatfield and McCoy's, and so we went along with it, and finally it came to the point where, you know, maybe we should just back up here and try to do something that's totally within the city's right of way, something where we don't have so many cooks in the kitchen. Yeah. It would just be us in the city. And that started about... Oh, what would you say, Jack?
Three, four years ago.
So it's only, this proposal's really been only on the board for 3 or 4 years. And, the city's had a lot of financial difficulties in the last few years with the power plant, with the fishing industry going bust, basically. Sure. I'm sure you've covered that on your show. But it's just been recently that there's sort of this, maybe a breath of fresh air. They passed it their sales tax measure. They've settled some of the sales tax issues with the natural gas for the power plant and so forth. So we think now's a good time.
But you got to spend money to make money.
Yes, we do.
They've got to invest in tourism if they want the tourists to come.
Yes.
And I think your location is ideal.
Well, and when you look at the data from the National Trust for Historic Preservation, heritage tourism is a real thing. I mean, heritage tourists spend more money. They stay longer. There's hard data to support that. It's pretty hard to convince some people of that until they actually look at that data. And that's been part of our, you know, part of our uphill battle is that you have to spend a little money to make a little money, and there's money in your history, in selling public history.
But, I mean, is there opposition to this plan?
There really isn't opposition. Okay. There's sort of a concern about the opportunity cost. For example, you know, if you've paid in lieu of parking fees and the city's about ready to give it away to a nonprofit history group, that might bother you a little bit. There's also opportunity costs associated with maintaining restrooms and utilities and liability and that sort of thing. But these are kind of logistical issues, and in my opinion, they're a little bit of a diversion. There are things that can be solved once there's an agreement.
Now, Jack, how much money are we talking about? How much money do you need to raise? How much money do you need to spend to have an interpretive center?
Well, we figure a couple $100,000 will get us a year down the road, get us a small fleet of vessels to show, and everything will take place in its own time after that. Having a place that is open and functioning and enjoyable to view will just pave the path for the future. Frankly, I'd like to one day see a giant edifice that showcases the maritime history of this coast and the entire oceanographic situation if that were possible. This nation has never put enough money into the our appreciation of the oceans and to research and perform the kinds of useful economic and cultural aspects of it, but a facility like ours would do that.
You could create a museum trail from your museum in the north to the Natural History Museum in the south, and the tourists could connect back and forth.
Well, not only that, with Piedras Blancas Lighthouse and the Port San Luis Lighthouse, and we've already worked with them a little bit. You know, the Coast Guard boat was actually donated through the BLM from the Coast Guard, so we've already got a cooperative relationship with some of those outfits.
And the city also has plans. Rick Algert has a plan for a boardwalk that would cover the Embarcadero area with points of historical interest called out to passersby, and that would be useful as well.
So our boardwalk is going to be coming eventually on the Embarcadero?
That's the plan as we understand it.
Wow. I can't keep up with all the changes in Morro Bay.
Well, there's a plan to go from Morro Rock along Coleman Drive, where the park is, all the way down to about mid-waterfront area.
Really?
Yeah. That's actually on their website. Yeah, I think you can pull it up and look at it.
Jack Hunter, Larry Newland on the Dave Congleton Show talking about plans for Morro Bay Maritime Interpretive Center. And Larry, you wanted to stress you really want people to show up next week. So let's talk about that.
Yes, I do. January 22nd, Monday, the city council meeting. This is a new item, and as such, they really won't have a public hearing for that. They're going to hear a presentation. They may ask me some questions. I may answer some questions to the council. But if folks want to speak on it, they feel strongly on it, they should show up at 6 and speak during the public comment period. And we're really encouraging people, even if they just got one to stand up and say 15 seconds worth of, you know, why don't you get this thing going? They need to hear from the public. That's what will get this thing going.
And you also want them to go ahead and contact the Morro Bay City Council members?
Yes, they could do that. They could call, they could email, they could write. Anything,
politely.
Anything they could do. Talking about public history, public history as an economic engine. In addition to its own intrinsic benefits of, you know, education and so forth.
And talk a little bit about the Maritime Museum Association itself. How do people join? How can they get involved?
Well, we have a loose friends organization that comes about usually when we have tall ship events coming in. For example, when the Endeavor came in, we had to round up 120 guides and get them trained, and they volunteered. In fact, from time to time, we bump into somebody wearing one of those Endeavor T-shirts, and they talk about how much fun it was.
Yeah.
Right now, the association is very loose. There aren't that many activities because we spend all of our effort, the board of directors does, the board of trustees, trying to push this project through. So we have a small board of trustees, and we are a 501c3, and occasionally people donate things. If people are in the community and have nautical bric-a-brac or things that they think would be of interest, they should contact us.
And how can they do that?
We have a website that has our address and email. They can also call me directly at 546-9156.
Repeat that phone number, please.
That's 546-9156.
How about if they want to donate to the Interpretive Center?
They can do that. Right now we have a warehouse where we store these things, and we show them once a year at the Harbor Festival.
But I'm talking about cash.
They can do that too.
Okay.
And we are a 501c3, so there's a tax incentive for that.
What's that website?
It's morrobaymaritime.org.
So Jack, hit us with a story that captures the mystery and the importance and the uniqueness of Maritime Central Coast.
One of the diversions that we've done a few times now was wreck of the Montebello off of Cambria, the World War II oil tanker that was torpedoed. And we've been down on her with a submarine twice, looking at her, and something the public would probably be interested to know. She's sitting out there with 1.3 million gallons of crude oil, Santa Maria crude oil, sitting on the seafloor in 880 feet of water. And the fishermen know where she is, and everyone's kind of watching. She's deep and therefore difficult to deal with in the manner that she lays there, but she's sitting on the seafloor like she was tied to the dock, sitting upright.
Uh-huh.
And getting the oil out of her is something that needs to be contemplated, because someday she's going to break down, and it would be a terrible disaster if all that oil were to come ashore.
How big a ship is she?
She was 440 feet.
Wow.
And left Avila on her way to Vancouver on the evening of the 20th, and was torpedoed early that next a.m. off of Cambria.
Yeah. And what kind of shape would you say she's in?
When we dove on her in 1996, there was not a sign of rust on her.
Wow.
Wow. And when we went back in 2002, there was big rust spots forming. So after her 60 years of lying there, she's now starting to show her age underwater.
So time is beginning to become a factor here.
That's right. And she's just one of many shipwrecks along this coast. There's a number of them. I mean, you know, this was a wayport between San Francisco and Los Angeles and San Diego and the Mexican ports. And the expression is posted missing. A number of vessels would leave the North Coast area for the South Coast area, but never arrive.
Wow.
So there's lots to be found off our shoreline here.
And just think about all the educational opportunities an interpretive center would have with the area schools and the colleges.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we plan to be open for, you know, special tours for schools, you know, during the week, during the winter, when there's not as much tourism intrinsically down on the waterfront.
Yeah.
Schools could contact our organization, and it would be a tremendous boost to their curriculum.
Now, Tribune says you're going to be 8,000 square feet.
Now, that's not correct. It actually, the ground floor is 800 square feet.
Okay, so it's 800 square feet.
Yeah, a little misprint. And then there would be a loft area in it. Then there would be the outdoor component with the boats and the viewing platform.
If everything goes your way, Larry, what's the timeline?
I would like to have a use agreement signed sometime early summer. I'd like to be in construction with the outdoor component by fall. And, in fact, what would really be nice is to host the Harbor Festival, our component, at that site next year, next October, first weekend of October.
Boy, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. But the next step is next week at the Morro Bay City Council meeting.
This coming Monday, January 22nd. Again, if people want to come and speak to the matter, we really would appreciate that. They need to be there by 6 o'clock and speak during the public comment period.
And where do they meet?
It's at the Vets Hall, 209 Surf Street, which is just on the bluff top above the proposed site.
And Larry, your phone number, if people want more information, is?
Feel free to contact me at 546-9156.
Thanks to Jack Hunter and Larry Newland for coming by today. Larry, final thoughts about the project?
No, we just think that, I just like to, again, if people are interested in history, whether or not you're a boat person or you're interested in maritime history per se, if you're interested in history, if you're interested in cultural amenities, please support us. Please write, call, or show up on Monday and speak your mind.
Jack, what do you say?
I would say there's a lot of folks out there that are looking for just this kind of activity to brighten their week. And when we get our boats out there and start working on them, everyone's welcome to help us do that.
One more time, the phone number, Larry.
546-9156.
Thanks, guys. Hometown Radio continues after Fox News. I'm Dave Congleton. Stay with us. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Thursday. My name is Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show, where we feature time saver, traffic, and weather together with Mr. Carson Britz. Carson?
Thank you very much, Dave. Still looking at that traffic collision at State Route Highway 46 at Jardine Road in Paso Robles. Still look like that there is a backup there. An alternate route for you might be if you go if you go south on Golden Hill Road if you're coming from Paso, and then go east on Union, and then you'll come out at Tobin James. And on the flip side, if you're coming into Paso Robles and you're coming on 46 West, try making a left there at the Tobin James Winery, and that'll put you on to Union, and you're going to come up to Golden Hills Road, make a right, and you'll come back out to 46.
It's our own little GPS. Little Carson, our own little GPS.
Who needs Magellan, right?
There you go.
Highway 1 at Hollister in San Luis Obispo. Looks like that there is a bit of a traffic hazard there, so be aware of that. Also, looking at Central Coast weather tonight, mostly clear skies around the Central Coast. Expect lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s are expected. Currently, it's 60 degrees in Paso Robles, 60 degrees in San Luis Obispo, and 62 degrees in Santa Maria. This portion of the Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by Central Coast Pathology. You have a choice on where to have your local lab work done. Why not have it done at Central Coast Pathology, Dave? And that is a look at your time saver traffic and weather together on the Dave Congleton Show. I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KVEC.
I guess I'd go to Central Coast Pathology. I don't know. Fortunately, I'm in reasonably good health, so I don't need a pathologist, but you never know. Shortly, we're going to be joined by Dawn Legg from Code Pink, and we'll find out what's happening. There's a rally tonight. What's the deal with that? Then during the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to meet some folks from Charter Public Access. You know what? You got Charter. You turn on the TV. It goes to Channel 2. That's the public access channel. Rick Bartel, Peggy Penny, all those types. Every other show has Ron or Leslie Bierce on it. What's up with that? We'll talk about public access and take your phone calls. During the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to meet Galen Whitley Keith, a Cal Poly graduate who is also an author. Her great-grandfather was H.J. Whitley, the father of Hollywood. So we'll meet Galen Whitley Keith and talk about her book. But I'm going to take a personal moment here because I have a great surprise here. My dear friend Barbara Boom has stopped by to surprise me and wish me well as I get ready to go to Antarctica. So she's going to put her headphones on right there and pull that microphone right close to you and say, hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave. He's caught me off guard.
I know. It's not the first time, is it? How are you, Barbara? Nice of you to come by and visit for a minute.
I am doing really well.
How's my buddy Harry Farmer?
Hey, I got a terrific reading from him.
Well, you know, Harry, who sometimes listens to this show, keeps promising to come on the show and do astrology readings, but he's always so busy.
I think he should. I think he's probably one of the best astrologers that I've gone to.
And what makes a good astrologer, Barbara?
Someone who knows what they're doing.
And if you don't mind my asking, what did he tell you? What did he predict? Good things for you? Did you have a good reading?
I have a very optimistic year coming up.
So 2007 is going to be good for you.
2007, 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you've been to Thailand. You've been overseas. You've been to Australia. It's like every time I'm talking to you, you've been somewhere. What advice do you have for me about taking the long-haul trip?
Well, first of all, as far as jet lag goes, sleep when it's going to be sleeping time in the country that you're going to.
Okay.
As you're going there.
Right.
And,
drink lots of water.
Yeah, definitely drink lots of water.
How long did it take you to get to Thailand?
Actually, when I went over there, from the time I left my home in San Luis to the time I got to my destination, it was over 30 hours.
Wow. 30 hours.
Well, that included my driving to San Francisco.
I know, but still, that's a long time.
It was very long.
Now, fess up, Barbara, you'd rather go to the dentist and have a root canal than sit here and talk to me, right?
Well, now, Dave, I'll chat with you anytime.
Have you met Carson Britz?
I haven't. Hi, Carson.
Hi, Barbara. I just booked a trip to Thailand not an hour ago.
Woohoo!
You're going to Thailand?
I'm going to Thailand.
Tell us a story.
A friend of mine's girlfriend, she's teaching English there for a year, and I've always wanted to go, and I figure now is as good a time as any. Well, I know it's kind of dangerous, but I'm just saying, I don't think my girlfriend's ever going to want to go, and I figure it'd be a fun time.
I'm totally confused. Your girlfriend's not going with you?
No.
You're going to go to Thailand and visit the girlfriend of your friend?
Well, and another friend.
Okay.
So there's two friends of mine going, so there's three of us going total.
I got you.
All guys.
Where do they teach?
She teaches in Bangkok.
My son and daughter-in-law teach in Bangkok.
How bizarre.
I wonder if they're in the same school. It's an international school.
I don't know.
What are the odds?
I don't know. I'm going to have to find out. I'll call them right now.
I'll leave you their names.
Call them the international.
Yeah. Hey, that'd be fun.
So your son is in Bangkok.
Uh-huh.
What advice would you give to Carson about being in Bangkok?
My girlfriend's really scared for me to go, too.
Oh,
why?
Stop it.
I don't know. She thinks it's really unsafe.
It's safe.
What advice? Anything?
Yeah. Where do you go for a good time in Bangkok?
Well, your girlfriend's friend will tell you.
Well,
she knows.
Barbara, work with us. Work with us here. Where did you enjoy? Did you enjoy Bangkok?
The next time I go there, though, I won't spend time in Bangkok other than just visiting with my son and daughter-in-law.
See, we're going to visit there for a few days, but I think we're going to take some side trips and go see some temples and go to some islands.
Now you listen to me.
Okay.
No smuggling.
No, absolutely. Hey,
okay.
Dave,
don't even joke about it.
I know I wouldn't. I don't even think I'm going to swear while I'm there.
There are wonderful places to go around there.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, beautiful places.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. The coast is supposed to be gorgeous.
I'm excited for you.
It's supposed to be just terrific. And we're going to ride elephants.
Cool.
I'm really excited about that.
Is it expensive, Barbara?
No. Cheap. The cost of living is very low.
The plane ticket's like $800. I was surprised.
Yeah, I think I paid $775 for mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
When are you going?
I'm leaving March 18th.
Okay.
Awesome.
See, everybody's going somewhere.
I'm not.
Well, wait, excuse me. You've been to Thailand. You've been to Australia. You've been to Hawaii. You've been all over the place. You just got back from Colorado. You travel?
No, I just got back from Sebastopol.
Well, no, relatively.
I did visit my relatives.
Relatively. All right, here. Here's Jim and Arroyo Grande on KVEC. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jim.
Your guest needs to know that the most beautiful women on planet Earth are in Pattaya Beach, Thailand.
Why would she need to know that?
No. Excuse me, your male guest. Well, hey, each his own.
Carson, are you getting that down?
I just wrote it down.
Yeah. I hope your girlfriend's not listening.
No, she doesn't listen to talk radio, Dave.
What are you saying, Jim?
P-A-T-A-Y-A, Pattaya Beach. Close enough to Bangkok to take the bus. Most beautiful beach you can. It's like being in a third world country, but you go parasailing on the back of a $100,000 scarab.
Wow. How long ago were you there, Jim?
I've been there 15, 16 times. I spent time in the Navy.
Oh, wow.
Cool. It's a great port for a sailor to pull into.
I'm not going there. Thank you, Jim. Barbara, I know you need to go. So you got a good astrology reading?
Yep.
And you just wanted to come by and say hi and wish me well on my trip.
I did, Dave. I want to wish you well. Have a safe trip coming and going. You're going to be missed. And I look forward to hearing all about your adventures, seeing pictures.
You hate being on the radio.
Oh, Carson, I also wanted to say that the people in Thailand are just very peaceful, loving people. And happy people.
Now they are.
Yeah. I'm kind of nervous because I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Well,
I'm 6'7", you know.
Yeah.
Are you
6'7"? I'm 6'7".
Oh.
They call foreigners farangs, and they say, we all have long noses and we all look the same. They do.
Man. All right. Barbara, thanks so much for coming by.
You're welcome, Dave.
It is 4:44 on News Talk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. When we come back, we'll hear from Don Lake from Code Pink. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. It is 4:46 on News Talk 920 KVEC. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dave Congleton. I've got an idea. Let's check in with Carson Britz, 6'7". Find out what's happening with Time Saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Taking a look at traffic, we still have that accident at Highway 46 at Jardine in Paso Robles. An alternative route would be for you if you're headed east on 46 and you're not quite to Golden Hills Road yet. Take Golden Hills south to Union, then go east on Union, and you'll come out at the Tobin James Winery. And oppositely, if you're coming towards Paso Robles on the 46 west, make a left there at the Tobin James, and then you'll come up to Union eventually, make a right there, and then go down to 46, and you will be right back on track, just a little bit out of your way. Also, looking in San Luis Obispo at Casa Real place at Camino del Oro, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. Taking a look at your Central Coast weather, tonight mostly clear skies around the Central Coast. Expect lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning and then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to low 60s are expected currently, with 60 degrees in Paso Robles, 60 degrees in San Luis Obispo, and 62 degrees in Santa Maria. This portion of the Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by Central Coast Pathology. Once again, you have a choice on where to have your local lab work done. Why not choose Central Coast Pathology? That's a look at your time saver traffic and weather together. I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KVEC.
All right, Carson, thank you very much. I think that's the absolute best thing about this job. And Barbara, thanks again for coming by. That was sure nice of you. You just get to meet people. When I was a teacher, I met a lot of students. I mean, one of the cool things about being a teacher is that every semester or every year, depending upon where you're teaching, you meet a whole new crop of students, and you get to stay in touch with them over the years. Not all of them, but, you know, you do form some special relationships, and there's a lot of joy and satisfaction in that. But the same thing is true with it being a radio talk show host. And Barbara is a perfect example. I met her through Craig Nettycombe. I met Craig Nettycombe through having this show. If I didn't have this show, I'd have no life at all. I'd have no social life. I'd have nothing. I wouldn't know anybody except for Carson. I wouldn't even know you.
I wouldn't know anybody either.
I wouldn't know. We meet people through radio. But you're the perfect example. You go out and do this Carson's job thing.
Yeah.
And so now you get out and people know you. Three of the four people who've been on the show today know you because they listen to Coast FM.
I just love being in the community more than anything.
You gonna stay here?
I don't know. Maybe it depends. It depends if I can find a sustainable income.
Good luck there.
I know. Not around this joint, huh, Dave?
Any minute now, Don Legg may be calling in. We don't know. There's a rally taking place tonight. In fact, it starts in about 10 minutes, and I want to find out what's happened with the Code Pink. But Don Legg is the only veteran voice on the radio today, if she ends up joining us, because everybody else is making their first visit. Destry Ramey, she was a first-time visitor. Name of her book, again, is What About Me? Her signing is a week from Saturday, 11 a.m. at Barnes & Noble on the 27th, and 1 o'clock at the Novel Experience for this children's book about pugs. Very nice woman and very brave woman to stare down cancer like that three different times and have cancer ravage her entire family. Just amazing. And then Jack Hunter and Larry Newland were here from the Morro Bay Maritime Museum. They want to get that set up, and we wish them well. I think it would be a nice idea. I don't know that much about maritime history. I'm just a Midwestern boy, but I think that would do very well. After Fox News at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by guests from Charter Public Access. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening on Public Access TV today. Find out what you like and what you don't like about Public Access TV. And then Galen Whitley Keith, Cal Poly graduate, author of the book The Father of Hollywood, has written a book about her great-grandfather, H.J. Whitley, who, as the title implies, founded Hollywood. Not only was he a big-time developer and visionary, he convinced all the movie producers and studio heads around the turn of the century to leave New York and come on out to sunny California. Very, very sharp guy, very, very successful man. So we'll talk about that. And then I'm out of here. Tomorrow we'll have a best of Dave. And Tom will be back from vacation on Monday. Carson is going to stick around for most of the next 2 weeks, but Carson will move here into the booth, and he'll be engineering the shows for our various guest hosts. So, for example, on Monday, we'll have Dr. Scott Robertson, and San Luis Obispo Police Chief Deborah Linden will be our guest host. On Tuesday, it's Betsy Nash. Stay with us throughout the week, the Dave Congleton Show. We are your hometown radio talk show. I'm going to give up on Don. Here's Talk Show 101.
Beyond time.
If they're not, then you just move on. Let's give something away.
Okay.
Once again, we are welcoming a new sponsor of Hometown Radio. It's our friends at Edna Valley Market, located on the corner of Tank Farm and Broad in San Luis Obispo, now open on Saturdays, open for breakfast and for lunch, featuring gourmet selections prepared by executive chef Terrence Lynch. They have daily specials. You can go to our website at 920kvec.com. Click on the icon for Edna Valley Market. You can see the menu. But more importantly, you can download a gift certificate. You can go have lunch, take a friend. The friend eats for 50% off. That's a pretty darn good deal. Anybody with internet access can do that. But since we're not going to be here tomorrow, let me take tomorrow's gift certificate and give it away right now. How would you like lunch for two at the Edna Valley Market? And the best news of all, Maryland is not eligible. Maryland will not win this time. There's no way Maryland can win because I won't even take her call. Instead, I'll take caller 15, 543-8830. or 1-800-549-5832. That's 1-800-549-KVEC. Caller number 15 wins lunch for two at Edna Valley Market. And don't be thrown off by this executive chef Terrence Lynch stuff. I mean, very nice guy, very capable chef, but, you know, this is Dave kind of food. This is salads and sandwiches and wraps and soups and daily specials. Nothing overly expensive. You and a friend can go. It's not gonna break you at all. Carson's gonna find me caller 15. There we go. Check out our website at 920kvc.com. We stream live on the internet. Let's meet our winner. Here is Ernie in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Ernie.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm right. Ernie, how are you, sir?
Good.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Where do you go for lunch in Morro Bay?
I don't eat too much in Morro Bay. I mostly eat in San Luis.
Okay. Where do you go in San Luis?
Golden China. Oh, gosh. Frank's.
If you like Frank's, you'll love Edna Valley Market. You'll like it.
Okay.
Nice casual dining.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Ernie. Let me give it to Carson. He'll take your information. Although, check line four before you do that. Check line four, will you? See who that is? Carson and I conducting a little bit of business here. Yes, Dr. Scott Robertson and Police Chief Deborah Linden will both be here on Monday. Betsy Nash will be here on Tuesday. Pastor Doug is going to guest host. Robin O'Leary is going to guest host. Dale McGee, I think it was on Wednesday. I've got five male guest hosts. I've got five female guest hosts. Somebody call Sean Hannity and tell him that when Dave goes on vacation, 50% of the guest hosts are women. He's never had a woman guest host his show. And I don't know what the deal is with him. Yes, I have seen the cover story in New Times. I'm not going to call them New Times anymore. I'm going to call them Soft Times. They're just Soft Times. They're going soft. We've talked at length on this broadcast recently about what's happening with New Times. Apparently, it's not much. Here's their hard-hitting cover story this week. What piece of investigative reporting have they decided to tackle this week? There's a new movie coming out, and they've done a cover story about the movie. That's it. That's the cover story in New Times. So a couple weeks ago it was about volunteering the community, and I think last week they talked about the animal shelter, and then they had that other cover story about religion and Jesus Christ. So do you detect a pattern here? Yeah. So, you know, go rush out and get that New Times. Don't worry, there'll be plenty in the racks. It is 4:56. Here she is. Dawn Legg from Code Pink is on line two. Hey, Dawn.
Hi, David.
How are you, dear?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Rushing around a little.
That's
yeah.
All right. I understand. Were you getting organized for the big rally?
Well, you know, I'm fortunate tonight that everybody else is doing the rally. I'm just kind of putting out the word on it. And I've had a lot of people tell me they were out this morning and out this afternoon. And it's we're calling it our New Year rally. So it's really just a colorful expression of our feeling that we're at a new year and we're looking for some new solutions for our country when it comes to the Iraq War. And we're already celebrating the day when the funding is cut and the troops are redeployed and brought back home.
So when and where is the rally tonight, Dawn?
Right now we're at Monterey and Santa Rosa for the next hour.
So everyone is going to be gathering at Monterey and Santa Rosa. And what exactly is going to be happening for that hour?
Well, for that hour, we just kind of out there with the drivers and the farmers market attendants to just, we're in costume. We're in like, you know, very gay type New Year's Eve gowns, of course, all pink. And with our signage and saying that, you know, we're looking forward to New Year, new way of thinking, and just kind of gathering together. It's one of the things that we found is doing creative political action is a great way to let off some frustration that people have when it comes to listening to the same mantras over and over again. And so it's just for fun, but it's also to remind the citizens that all of us are working together to make some changes here.
What do you think of some of these Republicans crossing over like Hagel and Snow to block the escalation by President Bush.
Yeah, I think that they're wise men. I think that they're listening to their constituents, which is what we would hope for all of our elected officials. You know, when you've got something like 61% to 70% of the populace saying that they're against the escalation and unhappy with the war, you would think that those elected to carry out the law of the land would do just that and not escalate this any further.
What's your website, Dawn?
SLOcodepink.org.
So people can come by the intersection of Monterey and San Luis tonight for the next hour.
Yep.
And see all these women decked out in pink gowns celebrating
yep.
the new year.
That's right. That's right. And then we're not taking our gowns to D.C., but we're on our way to D.C. next weekend.
So are you going to be there a week from this weekend?
Yes, exactly. We'll be leaving a week from tomorrow, and on Monday we'll be on Capitol Hill lobbying with all the other Code Pink sisters across America. We've got some men coming with us, too, so as like I always say, it's, you know, equal rights here.
Be sure to tell Kevin McCarthy I said hello.
You know what? I'll give him your regards for sure, David.
It might get you in the door.
Thank you.
All right, Dawn Legg, thank you. That's taking place as we speak at the intersection of Monterey and Santa Rosa. Drive on by, give them a honk, and check out the women from Code Pink and their pink gowns. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. Hour number 3 up next after Fox News. Okay, here we go. It is 5:04 on the Central Coast. Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Congleton. It's time to kick off the 5 o'clock hour for this Thursday, January 18th. Glad to have you with us, but we want to get you home safe. Filling in once again for the vacationing Tom Matson. Here's Carson Britz with the very latest in Time Saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. Looks like the commute is running along smoothly on all the major highways out there, so nothing to report as far as that goes. But as far as weather goes tonight, mostly clear skies around the Central Coast, expecting lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s, just like every other day this week, pretty much. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s are expected. It's currently 60 degrees in Paso Robles, 60 degrees in San Luis Obispo, and 62 in Santa Maria. This portion of the Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by Rivera's Auto Collision Repair. Auto collisions occur. When it happens, you call the experts. Rivera's Collision Repair, handling your insurance claims with efficient personal service. Rivera's Collision Repair will have you back on the road fast. Call 489-2244, located at 110 Briscoe Road in Arroyo Grande. Your neighborhood collision repair specialist is Rivera's Collision Repair. And now you're up to date with all your Time Saver traffic and weather together. I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KVEC.
All right, Carson, thank you very much. During the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to interview Galen Whitley Keith, Cal Poly graduate, who's gone on to write a book about a great-grandfather, H.J. Whitley. He is the father of Hollywood, which works out fine because that's the title of her book. If you're interested in Southern California history, I know you'll want to stick around. First, we turn our attention to public access. I think early last week, Carter Brown was on this show talking about discrimination on the Central Coast, making a series of allegations, including allegations about programming on public access. To be fair here, I want to give members of public access a chance to respond. We've got 1, 2, 3 members here. I'm going to start with Gail Lightfoot. Good evening to all of you, first off. Gail, just start with you and introduce yourself, please, in terms of public access.
I'm Gail Lightfoot, and I produce one program on public access, Why Liberty Matters, The Libertarian Viewpoint, and I'm secretary of the nonprofit.
Okay. Todd, what should we know about you?
I produce a TV show, Toddster TV. I am the current chair for Slo County Public Access Television.
Todd Leal, is that
pronounced? Yes.
Okay. Jose, last but not least.
All right, Jose Limas, and I have two shows, the Aki Show and the Community Arts and Music, and I chair the scheduling committee.
So much to talk about, but I guess we should start with the issues that Carlton raised. And Todd, I'd just like to give you the microphone and give you a chance to comment on the allegations Carlton was making.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. First, I'd like to read what our objectives and purposes
sure.
are for public access. The primary objectives and purposes of this corporation shall be to promote, encourage, and support the use of public access television in San Luis Obispo County and educate the public on the merits of communication through public access television.
All right.
We have been a 501c3 corporation since 2001. And at the time, we put together a board to run the organization. I started out as treasurer on that board, helped write the bylaws, and helped write the papers for 501c3.
And what's your affiliation to Charter? I mean, you don't have any official relationship with Charter.
No, I don't. I'm a volunteer.
But the whole group is independent of Charter.
Yes.
Right. I just want to nail that point home.
Yes.
Okay. So even though it's on Charter really doesn't have any say in the issues.
Yeah, they provide the channel, right, and they make sure the programs are transmitted over the channel.
But it's up to the board to provide the content.
Exactly.
You do the content.
You're right.
Determine the schedule.
Okay.
Right. When we first started, when they first started Public Access, Charter had all the equipment there. They had the studios, cameras, and so forth for us to get started.
Right.
Since then, since we became an organization, we've been eligible for the PEG funds that are available through the county, mm-hmm, which we received last year,
sure,
and have used that money for new equipment, new studio equipment, new equipment to broadcast over the air.
So Carl seems to think there's racism and discrimination on Public Access.
I don't understand where that's coming from.
You've heard his comments.
I've heard his comments, yeah, and I've not more than once. So we have always welcomed everybody to Public Access. We want diversity on Public Access, and that's, wide open to anybody who wants to come in to produce a television program is welcome to come in, become a member, produce a program. We'll get on the air for them. We have no limitations on who can do that.
Right. And maybe you should have some limitations, though.
The only limitation is your own ability, at this time, we don't have professionals training people. You have to train yourself,
right,
or be trained elsewhere to become, really top notch.
Jose, comment on the issue of discrimination, please.
Well, regarding whatever comments Carlton might have made on the show, I didn't hear them, so I don't. I really can't address them directly. I mean, if he says or he senses that something's going on, I think it deserves to be heard out and to be addressed, mm-hmm, so that we can either say it shouldn't happen and wherever it happened it should stop, or if it's a misunderstanding or something, then that should be clarified too.
One example that he brought up, and he didn't name, I believe it was a board member, but a woman who's affiliated with the organization complaining that there were too many minorities now on Public Access.
I'm not aware that anybody said that.
Hmm. I'm just merely telling you what he said.
I wish Carlton would have come to the board with his concerns over the concerns he has, but he hasn't. He's gone everywhere else and made all these accusations, and told everybody else what his concerns are, but he hasn't come to us.
Right.
As a member of an organization, you bring issues you have with the organization to the other members or the leadership. You don't go public unless you can't have them resolved any other way. And in most cases, if you belong to an organization and you're not really happy, you join a different organization. Now, since there's only one Public Access channel and only one way to utilize it, we want to be as fair as possible to give as many different people opportunities to come onto the channel as we possibly can. But if people feel that they're being shortchanged, they need to bring it to the board.
Yeah. So, Jose, have you ever encountered any discrimination in terms of Public Access?
I was going to answer that differently until you said in terms of Public Access.
Yeah.
I mean, in this county, in the city, in this state, that's a different story.
Sure.
In Public Access, quite frankly, my association with the Charter staff and with other producers, I haven't.
Right.
I haven't. It's been pretty... it's been a pretty healthy relationship that I have with everybody that I've encountered at Public Access. And I think a lot of it has to do with just kind of the attitude or the atmosphere that you bring into a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's going to be whatever you make out of it.
I would imagine that Public Access provides a chance to level the playing field in terms of all this other extraneous stuff that you and others encounter. You have access to ideas. You have access to TV. Your voices and ideas can be heard.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. And the show that that I particularly I specifically started with was the Aki Show, which was the result of being on other shows to just make a community related announcements.
All right, here we go. On line one, it's Carlton in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Carlton.
Hi, David.
Hey, Carl, can you turn your radio down?
Hold on.
Thank you very much. We've got Todd and Gail and Jose in studio now. Carlton's on line one. Carlton, you there?
How's that?
All right. What's going on, Carlton?
Well, you know, David, first I want to thank you for supporting us and sharing a dream for the best event that we've ever had.
I'm glad to hear that.
And secondly, I wasn't going to be lured into this, but I decided to call in to clear the record.
Okay.
And the record is, I did not go public. I was at your show for Sharing the Dream. Monique called in and addressed these questions that they're saying that I went public without going to the board. And yes, I answered those questions when they were asked of me on the air, but I don't want to be villainized in a way that I'm this guy out here with this bone to pick, that because I'm this guy who thinks that the world, and I don't have a chip on my shoulder about being black, I'm okay within my skin, and the issues, I didn't know that I would be allowed to go to this board who claims that they're so available to me. I'm very willing to put my facts and my dates, the emails that I got from these people on the table, and if they want to air it out in a board meeting, I'd be glad to meet him anywhere, any day, any time.
I do want to point out that Carlton is correct on one level. He did come on to promote Sharing the Dream, and when it was only when Monique called in and brought up the issue that he felt compelled to respond.
Thank you, David.
All right, who wants to comment? Todd?
I believe, if I remember right, I think Carlton said something that that made Monique want to call in to clarify what he had said. So,
if that be the case, then I'm compelling you to say something. Tell me the date and the place I can meet your board to air out my laundry. I don't choose to do it on David's time, on the public's time, pretending that this is an issue that Carlton's out here beating this drum about woe me, poor black man, because that's not what's happening.
I'd like to ask you, where did you get the idea that we were racist and that we wanted...
I'll say it again. I have my documents. I have my facts. I'd love to meet with your board, and we'll do that. I'm not going to air my laundry on air.
I got you.
I am not going to do that. I'm not drawing the public in because, David, all this is a ploy to pretend that they're doing everything by the book, that we're so wonderful, that we're just this great group of people.
Hang on, Carlton. Let me try this. If Carlton or others on public access have concerns, complaints, grievances, what's the process, Todd? What should he be doing?
He should be attending our board of directors meetings.
I was at your meeting last night that you asked me to leave.
That was a closed session. That was a normally scheduled board meeting.
So how do I know? It didn't say that on the door.
And the process is that the members meet once a month, and at that meeting there is a public comment period. And all public comments will be gathered together and brought to the board for consideration so that anyone who has a complaint about anything the board is doing will be discussed and brought to all the members in group and then brought together and given as a report to the board who will decide whether action needs to be taken depending on the reaction of the members to whatever complaints are brought up in the public access period. We don't take public access board meetings.
One at a time.
Because it extends the board meetings too long and we are not able to get to the business of accessing PEG funds which are needed to build a new studio and replace equipment that is wearing out.
But if you've got a guy alleging racism, wouldn't you want to hear that?
We're hearing that.
Okay.
But we're hearing it through the public media and out in the public and on programs on the channel
that the viewers are watching. You want him to come to a public comment and make the public comment.
I want that brought to the members, to the entire group. I don't want it here. People that don't even watch the channel are hearing complaints about how we schedule programs.
So, Carlton, it sounds like you need to bring all your information and your allegations to a public comment period and make your case there.
I think so, David, and I'd love to do that. I'd love to get eyeball to eyeball I'm not a very good politician, you know, Gail being a libertarian who ran on the ticket. And
oh, yeah, she's a seasoned pro.
And on air, she sounds really philosophical, very okay. great, but it's a bunch of BS.
Thank you, Carlton.
Is he gone?
Carlton's gone. You want to go ahead and comment.
Pardon?
You want to comment?
Oh, then, you know, public access exists for the entire community, and what we really want is any one person to have their 30 minutes of fame. If it's once, if it's once a week, if it's once a month, right. they can produce a program and bring it on a first-come, first-served basis.
So if Carson Brits, when he gets back from Thailand, wants his own show on public access, how does Carson get his own show? What's the procedure?
Well, what Carson needs to do is get hold of Dave Baumgarten. He's our executive producer, and Dave can be reached at 528-7508. And Dave will then get a producer's packet to Carson to fill out.
So you just call Dave at 528-7508.
Yes.
Say you want to be on public access, mm-hmm. and Dave sends you a packet.
Right. And talks
Simple
with
as that.
You.
And talks.
Simple
well, they'll
as
meet.
That.
They'll meet together, arrange a meeting, and Dave will give them the packet and explain the packet, what needs to be filled out.
Okay.
And then Carson returns the packet. And starts producing his show.
Here's
and
Rich in Aurora Grande on KVEC. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Rich.
Hey, Gail. Hi, Todd.
This
Hi,
is
Jose.
Fred. Hey, Fred.
Hey, who's this guy running the equipment in there? I mean, Dave, if he's going to run the equipment while you're gone, you could come back in 2 weeks.
Fred,
hey?
What do you got for the topic, Fred?
All right. Hey, Gail. Hi, this is Fred. You know, Gail's a incredible person. So is Jose. I don't know Todd, but I like to watch his show. And public access to me is the just hometown radio. It's local.
Right.
It's uncensored.
Right.
Anybody. I'll tell you my only real complaint is I don't want to see the religious shows on there. There's plenty of places to see that.
Yeah. Why do you have all the religious shows on there?
They didn't used to be on, did they?
Yeah. Who can answer that? Jose?
I mean, I can address it. The religious shows have a right to be on public access, and they go through the process of requesting a time slot. It's there. I mean, we're not going to say, no, we've already got too
yeah.
many.
But how many sermons
I
do you need taped?
Mm-hmm.
Those
I'm not
are
saying,
shows. Those are taped sermons. I'll say it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
That I agree with it, but that's following the system and the procedures that we have. That's why they're there.
Let's get a show with a minister who sits around and dialogues about religious issues. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a great show.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't want to see some, you know, if I want a sermon, I'll go to the church.
Right. But they have the same first come, first serve right as anybody else. And what's going to happen is as more community members want to produce a show, there's only 300 and some half hours in a week.
Right.
So when you have that many different producers, each one will only be on once.
What else, Fred?
Well, Dave, hey, have fun on your trip.
Thank you, buddy.
And are you going to bring me something back?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're the one. 520 on News Talk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. Here's Gary in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Dave.
Hi,
Hello,
Gary.
Your guest.
Hi.
I tuned in late. Maybe you've already answered this, but I'd just like to know how much money has the channel received in the last year in public funds from the PEG funds or whatever. What does it normally run that you get from the county or from the public?
Anybody know?
Well, from the county we received because there hasn't been an organization as far as public access in a number of years to receive the fund, those funds have built up, and what we received from the county was right around $225,000.
And who determines how that money is broken down and how it's budgeted up?
I'm sorry, that was from the city of San Luis, not from the county. That was from the city of San Luis. The city holds the money. When we need to purchase equipment, we give them a bill of sale and get their okay on the equipment, then they turn around and pay for the equipment.
All of the franchise agreements in the county limit expenditure of PEG funds to equipment.
Okay.
It doesn't allow for any operating costs, insurance, or anything else that the organization would need to exist as a nonprofit.
There's no payment
to any
administrative
staff. But it does allow us to buy cameras, editing bays.
There's no payment to any
everything
administrative staff.
Everything you need staff. In the studio
no,
and the landroom.
No,
it's all
no,
volunteers.
All volunteers.
Okay. My next comment was, and this is just me personally, I personally don't think that they should have a person on there on any kind of a program. I think it should be something in your bylaws that if they're running for a political office during the time that they're actually a candidate, they shouldn't be allowed to have a program on
Absolutely.
There. The program is
Absolutely.
No matter what it is. And, I mean, I see that, in my opinion, just being violated all the time and in the past year or so forth. And I think you definitely should have a ruling on that, that if this person's going to run for a public office during that time that they're a candidate and all, they should not be allowed to have a program.
Well, it violates FCC laws.
Well, I would think so. And, I mean, yeah. It just doesn't seem, you know, regardless if they're talking about tourism or whatever, the fact that that person's face is on there and they're interjecting some of their personal comments in their area of maybe where they're running for office, whether it's city, county, or right. whatever, I think it's wrong.
All right, Gary, thank you very much. Who wants to respond?
I can't hear.
Carson, we're having trouble with Gail's headsets here. Can I get you to make the adjustment here? Obviously, he's concerned, Todd, as I come back to you, about he's talking about Bill Rabinow and why somebody who's a city council member has their own show and whether that's fair or not.
They have the same first-come, first-serve right
exactly.
as anybody else.
Yeah.
But he's an incumbent office holder.
Right.
Isn't that unfair advantage? How can you take on a city council member if he's got his own weekly show on public access?
One of the first things I notice is that some programs are on other channels. And if they can afford or have the privilege of being on another pay-per-view, you know, paid channel, commercial channel, or even the educational and government channel, why are they on the public access channel? Well, because public access is open to everyone. And we have not taken the step of saying you're not eligible because you have access. And we don't keep the Democrats and Republicans off because I'm on there as a libertarian, even though they have far more coverage in major media than I would ever get.
Yeah, but I think we're talking specifically about Rabinow here. He's an incumbent yeah. city council member. What's he doing on with his own TV show?
Well, you know, if a news broadcaster decides to run for Congress or president, they don't get kicked off of their programs.
Yeah, they do. They can't, you can't run for office. Did you want to comment?
Well, I think it's if it is, this is an education for me. Okay, yeah. You're bringing up some really important issues, and I think if in fact we are in violation of that, and that's something that that's something that we need to look at. I'm glad it was brought up.
525 on News Talk 920 KVC. Phone calls are coming in. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back and take your phone calls for Todd and Gail and Jose. I'm Dave. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. All right, Fox News at the bottom of the hour. I'm Dave Congleton here with three of the best from Charter Public Access. Gail Lightfoot is here. Jose Lemus is here. Todd Leal's here. And on the line we have Matthew in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Matthew.
Good evening, Dave.
Hey, Matthew. What's up?
Good evening to the public access people, too. I've been hearing a couple terms this hour so far, public access. Sounds like first come, first serve. So it begs the question, I don't mean to make it a personal attack because it's not, but were the Bierce family first in line? Because, I mean, I missed breakfast with the Bierces today. And,
well.
And, I mean, it's just every time I turn the channel on, there they are. And if I turn the channel on to somebody else's show, there they are. What if I came up with a documentary or, let's say there's a measure that needed to be talked about and, how do I get that on the air right away? Do I have to wait in line behind Peggy Penny, or what am I going to do?
We have 7.5 hours a week are dedicated to what is called debut showcase, and that is for specials, because maybe you're going to bring something in just once and want it done this month, but you don't need it next year or next week. And so you can get in right away under that system.
Yeah,
The Bierces were first with the most.
But they have a lot of shows.
Right, and we have addressed that issue. Yeah. Now, before the organization became a nonprofit, there was a limit of two programs per individual or organization. Okay?
Okay.
What the Bierce family interpreted that to say to individuals and their four people in their family. That's how they managed to bring so many programs onto the channel.
Okay.
We have finally had to say, excuse me, if you're a family unit working together, you're limited to two programs.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean to make it sound like
we didn't
want to.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people have that perception.
We didn't want to have to do that, and it affects me because my son lives with my husband and I, and we're limited then to two programs.
And then they get a show, and it's a show from 1986.
Right.
Well, that was going to be my That was going to be my other point. I mean, I loved his hair back then, but please.
Another new policy that we're bringing in is that repeated material can only be a small portion of your program.
Thank you. Well, let's go to Fox News. Back with more of our conversation, more of your phone calls. I'm Dave Congleton. Stay with us. In with 5:32, let's check in with Carson Britz. I'm going to Antarctica tomorrow. That's all I know. With the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together, Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. It looks like everything is going very smoothly out there in your commute on the major highways, so nothing to report in terms of traffic. But as far as weather goes, tonight mostly clear skies around the central coast. Expect lows in the upper 20s to the mid-30s, and tomorrow mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy throughout the rest of the day. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s are expected throughout the entire central coast. Currently, it's 47 in Cambria, 52 in Morro Bay, and 58 in Grover Beach. This portion of the Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by Dr. Baldwin. Dr. Baldwin, orthopedic specialist. Dr. Kenneth Baldwin, where the patient comes first. And now, you're up to date. That's a look at your time saver traffic and weather together. I'm Carson Britz, Purdue Talk 920 KBEC.
All right, Carson, thank you very much. Back with our friends from Charter Public Access, Todd Leal, Gail Lightfoot, Jose Lemus. Before we go back at the phones, Jose, what are your shows? When are your shows? How can people watch you on Public Access?
The Aki Show is, let me see if I got to memorize now, Wednesdays from 1 to 2. On Tuesdays from 6 to 7, and I believe it's there's another time. I can't remember.
Okay. Dodster, when's the show on?
Dodster's on Sunday evenings at 11, Tuesday at 10 p.m., and Wednesday at 10 p.m.
Gail?
Why Liberty Matters is on 8 a.m. on Fridays, 10 a.m. on Saturday, and 12:30 p.m. on Monday, but all of this is going to change in the next couple of months.
Is there a website or something where it has like a TV guide?
We've attempted to have to get a website up and going. However, we don't have the funds to hire somebody to do a website for us.
So we've had a wish list.
Yes, it is. We've asked for volunteers to help us.
We have one. Volunteers, we're keeping it, but it falls behind when you have only volunteers.
Here is Brett in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Brett.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're good.
You kind of piqued my interest with regards to your board meetings. They're closed to the public or closed to...
No, they're not closed to the public, but we used to have public comment in the beginning because with Bill Rabinow as our chair, he used to doing it that way. But we had a couple of meetings when we spent a couple of hours listening to producers with complaints, so we decided they're open. You know, most nonprofit boards don't meet in public. We're not a public organization, but we want to be as open as we can. But we need to get our business done. So we decided to bring people to the membership meetings that truly are public. And when we try, at those meetings, we try to educate, do outreach, deal with complaints, and then take it to the board. Anyone can attend a board meeting, but the board needs to concentrate on its business because we really have to make this a viable organization.
What else, Brett?
I was just a little concerned. I was thinking, you know, because I've been on a couple of nonprofit boards, and they've always been open to the public.
Right.
None of the nonprofit boards that I know of, and certainly our Libertarian Party, its executive committee doesn't operate in public.
Hmm.
Well, those are, I guess, from the standpoint of something that's dealing with political parties, I could see that. But I've been.
Brett, you ought to get a show on public access. You and Jerry could do a show together.
Oh God, I could watch me beat Jerry up.
All right, thank you, Brett. let me find Marilyn in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Marilyn.
I am glad to hear your people and their issues, and I have my minor one. I listen to or watch Public Access just spatterings here and there. I flip through and I like what I'm seeing or not. I liked when the League of Women Voters was on and they had Julie.
Right.
And important issues to do with our city, county, states.
What don't you like?
I don't like not knowing it's going to be on a certain day at a certain time.
Oh, errors and omissions?
Yeah. Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock every week or once a month or whenever.
Yeah.
And say all political are on that.
Oh, I see. Do like the networks put children's program at certain hours,
yes,
and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Then I could remember and just instead of just passing through to see if it's going to be something like that.
TV watching is an adventure, Marilyn.
Right. I DVR my program.
But I'm programmed to watch certain things at certain times,
right,
and perhaps others are too.
Some public access channels have gone that way, too, and it's a way, it's another way to limit monopolization of the channel by one theme or thing, like when we were talking about churches.
Yeah.
But we don't really have that much programming to be able to do it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, but
we are. One of the changes that we're bringing in is that each program will be on once per time period, and the time period is either morning, afternoon, evening, or the midnight hours, and we go 6:12, 6:12, that kind of thing.
All right, Marilyn, good enough. Thanks for the call. Well, we have our friends from Public Access on the Dave Congleton Show, Gail Lightfoot, Jose Lemus, Todd Leal. Here is Michael in Grover Beach on KVEC. Hi, Michael.
Hey, David. How are you?
All right. Michael sounds like Michael Passarelli.
That's true.
All right, what's up, Michael?
I guess I know everybody, so let me say hello to everybody. And Dave, pack your mucklucks if you're going south.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I have two comments to make. First of all, in terms of public access, and I, as much as anybody on the panel, are experienced in the trials and tribulations of public access, having been the supervisor for a couple of years, there is no racism problem at public access. There's an ego problem.
Yes.
And that's plain and simple. There are some people who think they and only they know what's best for public access and are willing to fill meetings with hints, lies, and allegations that bog down the process and muddle everything till most people who really are considerate and concerned about the process just go, oh, enough of this already, and throw their hands up in the air. And it's very frustrating, but that's part of the growth of an organization that they have to go through. And I commend Todd and Gail and Jose for trying to work through this process, and it's not an easy one because of the egos involved. And in time, I think you will see improvements over the station. There are enough people concerned about the quality of work that it will get done, but it's got to follow a procedure. And in terms of one other thing, I think we need to commend Charter for the efforts they've made. This whole racism issue, et cetera, that's been brought up has nothing to do with Charter Communications. They gave this gift to the community, and they turned it over to a 501c3 nonprofit to run and step back and let this happen. And this is just the growing pains of a small organization that's underfunded, understaffed, and run by volunteers. And you can only get so much work out of a volunteer.
Yeah.
So it's just part of the process.
Jose, you want to comment? You got a big ego?
I don't think so.
Somebody said I did.
I don't think so. But
no, Jose does not have a big ego.
I agree with something that Mike said, is that they. I think what we're going through, meaning public access, is growing pains. You know, I keep when all of this started happening, this, in terms of channels and the conflicts or tensions started to rise as the time slots started to get less and less available time slots. And it always reminds me of, you know, when you go to church during the, any other Sunday and there's all kinds of places to sit, then you go on Easter or Christmas and people are saving seats, you know, and then it gets a little more hectic as far as trying to find a place to sit. And that's kind of what's happening here. There's less time slots, and we're the board, and I'm not on the board. I'm on the scheduling committee, but the board seems to be doing following some steps to try and open up the time slots. And it sounds like if we can get our act together and get Channel 2 looking good and getting diversity and variations in programming, then maybe other channels can open up and maybe move the religious programs over on that show.
What else, Michael?
That's about it for me. But I think I hope people will continue to watch it and continue to comment on it, because it's only from feedback from the public that we get this. And the schedule that is very heavy with certain faces as opposed to others, give the board and the committee's time, and they'll deal with the issue, because that's the proper way to deal it through an organization, not just people running off going half-cocked, thinking that they and only they know what's right.
Thanks for the call, Michael. I appreciate it. Do you get a lot of feedback, Todd? Do you hear from the public?
I do. especially about how many times one person is on the TV.
Okay.
That's the main issue.
And if people want to give you feedback, how do they do that? What's the best way to reach you?
They can reach Dave Baumgarten is the executive producer, and they can reach him at the 528.
If people have complaints about the program.
Yeah, they go to Dave.
They go to Dave.
Interacts with Charter and us.
Okay, so then what are you?
I'm the chair for the board.
Okay.
Todd's main responsibility is working with the county and the other franchising agencies to release those PEG funds.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And especially.
So he's more an administrator.
Yeah.
And Dave's more programming.
Right.
Gotcha. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832, as we talk about what's happening in public access. Ingrid is in Pismo Beach on KVEC. Hi, Ingrid.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Ingrid. How are you, dear?
I'm doing real well.
What's up?
Just two things. I wanted to say thank you so much to Public Access for giving free opportunities for nonprofits in our community to get the word out about their services, especially changes in the services. And secondly, I just wanted to say that I know there's a big brouhaha about the Beerses right now, but I remember when I appeared on their show the first time in 2005, they were actively trying to recruit people to come in and produce new shows. So, you know, I think their intent has been positive all along the way.
I agree. Their intent has been positive, and they have helped a lot of producers come in and help them with their shows, producing their shows, directing camera work, and I commend them for that. They're doing a great job.
Perfect.
People are asking them to step back from the camera and be more behind the scenes.
However, a lot of those people that they brought in, they end up being the host of those people's programs.
I see.
Which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And I've asked them on a couple of times, personally, face-to-face, please step back. Let the people learn how to host the programs.
Yeah.
You know, Christina does a great job at editing and everything. You're a great help to Public Access. But just step back behind the camera, let them take over their show so that you're not on TV and overexposed.
And people aren't talking about you on talk radio. Anything else, Ingrid?
I would like to not see myself in another 4 months because I've been running on one of the broadcast for 4 months there.
Meditate. Time to meditate, Ingrid.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, can we do something about Peggy Penny? Can we just get her off the air?
Once per time.
She doesn't even sing. She lip syncs.
There are a number of people who came on Public Access 5 years ago, 6 years ago when it was brand new, and Brad Brown was there, that are on in the evenings only.
Put a bylaw in.
They will be once per time period.
Put a bylaw in. No lip syncing.
Peggy Penny and
sing. She lip syncs.
Several other programs who are on exclusively in the evenings are going to have to move their times to afternoons and mornings.
Thank God. Patrick is in Los Osos on KVEC. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing?
We're going, Kid Patrick. What's up?
All right. Hey, I'm an African-American male in the area here, and I'm also a producer of Public Access Channel 2.
Okay. What's your show, Patrick?
My show is People Around Us and the Issues in Our Community.
Okay.
And I know I started off about a year ago bringing those shows on, and they were pretty informative, and they actually dealt with the issues of cultural diversity here in the area.
Okay.
But not until I started doing some of those type of shows that we started feeling the agitation from different individuals within the board or Public Access itself. I also, throughout my knowledge of what I'm learning from other people on the street is that they've been having a hard time with African Americans getting involved in the Public Access from the beginning to the end. That means coming to the door and the way they're being greeted, how they're being told how to go about becoming a producer. And, you know, those are the type of things they run into. So basically what they do is they find it a hard thing to do something that's supposed to be volunteer and fun. And so they just give up altogether.
So, Patrick, you're claiming that Public Access discriminates against blacks?
Yes. Okay. I can truly say, in a sense, it does, because I had a show that was, I felt like it was illegally taken away from me. The issues in our community, there was some stuff that went on behind my back that I had no knowledge of until after it was done. And then I heard all these excuses as to why. And then supposedly when I took it to the board and I become adamant about it, they gave me the show back. But it's not so much the show that they gave back, but it's the viewership I might have lost and the idea that I may not be able to show those kind of shows.
Is your show on now, Patrick?
I have a show that's called People Around Us that should be airing.
Okay.
Because of the things that we've been going through, we haven't excused the child for crying. I'm dealing with a baby right now.
Okay. Patrick, we got the argument. Go deal with the baby. Believe me, the baby is more important than a public access show. I'll get my guests to respond. Thank you. All right, who wants to respond to Patrick?
Regarding the show he's talking about, I think it was people in...
No, issues in our...
Issues in our community. That was a show that was... it was complex. It was complex. There was some things going on with the show, and then where... in order to try and I've already explained this to Patrick and in writing and in person, but I'd love to sit down with him and just show him.
Do you discriminate against blacks at public access?
Do
no.
I?
Yeah.
No,
do
I don't.
You? Does public access discriminate against blacks?
No, this program was brought in by the Beerses with one person's name as the producer. That person left the country and said, I'm not involved in this program anymore. So Jose told the scheduling committee, this person says that they're not producing this program anymore. So he took it off the schedule. Then Patrick Jernigan comes in and says, no, that's my program. Well, his name was not on the paperwork anywhere.
It does sound complex. Let's move on. Cynthia's in Bay. Went on KVEC. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
How's everybody doing? I finally found you on my little emergency radio.
We appreciate that. Check us out every afternoon from 3 to 7. We're here.
If only.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you that I think that people should give this board a chance. This isn't the board. This hasn't been the same board. You know, I'm the treasurer, and I'm doing the best I can with no money. And not much hope of getting any money or any support from anybody who controls the money. It's a very frustrating thing to try and do anything. We've just thought up showing public domain movies in the afternoon. And it has taken us a long time, but we have a lot to deal with before we can start dealing with better shows and getting things, you know. I mean, we've got to work through a whole lot. We're doing a lot of work. We're volunteers. We're getting accused of being something that we're not, and people that are on the board and part of this organization, I would think, would want to support us, help us, and help us make public access better and not a laughing stock.
Let's get some comments. Thank you for your call, Cynthia. What do you say, Gail?
Well, I agree. We do need interaction, and, you know, people say there's no one there to help them when they walk in the door to do a public access show, and that's true. And the Beerses have stepped out and held people's hand to get them started. But we have a lot of volunteers. We each produce a program, and there's no coordinator there anymore. Brad Brown's gone. Michael Passarelli's gone. All we have is someone to make sure the programs are transmitted on the channel. The franchising agencies won't let us hire anyone to be there to greet people and help them get started. And none of us are professionals.
Any other comments for Cynthia?
I want to address funding. We have gotten PEG funds, but all the funds that are going to come from that have come from the city and are going to come from the county and the rest of the other cities are for capital expenses only, which is cameras, equipment like that, and we have no money to operate our organization. So we need volunteers to help us, and we need volunteers. That's what's going to help.
We need volunteers.
Yes, we need volunteers.
Larry's
whether
in San Francisco. Okay. Go on, sorry. Go ahead.
Cuesta. We'd love to have some people from Cuesta, from Cal Poly, who are doing the media classes there to come in and help other producers and help us, you know, get producers on the show.
It takes training and education to be able to produce something, and we don't have people available to do it.
Larry's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Hey,
first up, if you asked a question earlier, if Jose Lemos had much of an ego, if you've ever seen him off at his office, I can tell you no. No problem there. Hey, I have a situation where I have been in charge of promoting an event, Save Music in Our Schools, which is coming up February 25th. I have video and audio from last year. Is it possible to put it together into a promotional, maybe a 28-minute or 30-minute thing, get it aired a few times? How much lead time do you need? Is that even an option, and what format will you need something like that in?
It's no problem. We welcome that. What you need to do, is it on tape? You have it on, is it edited down and everything ready to go?
It could be edited. It's currently on VHS, and there is also some digital as well, too. There's stills. It's a performance that was put together last year at the PAC by the San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay High School's bands and choirs, and they're doing it again this year, and I'm just trying to figure if there is a spot, you know, what format, what timing do we need to get it into?
Get hold of Dave Baumgarten at 528-7508. He can give you the information you need. We have people there who can help you edit it. We have editing bays at Charter for the public to come in and use to edit their programs, put a tape together, and we can get that on the debut showcase for you.
And that can be done as soon as it's ready, because anything that is timely, the scheduling committee can say, Jose, as chair, can say, okay, we're promoting an event that's in 2 weeks. We're not going to wait for the next meeting. We're going to go ahead and put it on.
And it can run multiple times.
Yeah,
multiple times. Okay. Ingrid Piers is still being shown, apparently. All right. Thank you, Larry. Take a quick break. Come back and wrap things up with my guest. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. Five 56 on the Central Coast. Good evening. I'm Dave Congleton. Let's go to Carson Britz for the latest in time saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thanks, Dave. Traffic looks good. Central Coast weather tonight, clear skies, 20s and 30s all over the coast. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s. Currently 56 San Miguel, 49 in Templeton, 52 in Arroyo Grande, and 48 in Los Alamos. That's a look at your time saver traffic and weather together. I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KVEC.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Fox News at the top of the hour. And then Cal Poly graduate and author Galen Whitley Keith will join us to talk about her great-grandfather, H.J. Whitley, the father of Hollywood. It should be an interesting discussion when Galen joins us. Back in our remaining minutes with Todd Leal and Gail Lightfoot and Jose Lemus. And, Jose, there's a point you wanted to make about public access.
Yeah, I just want to make it real clear that the shows, the two shows that I have, I think are pretty successful, and from just the comments that I get from people that have been watching it, and they are the result of being on the public access initially through either the 6 o'clock news, which is Ron's show, or Proyecto Unido, which Leslie was hosting, and that spearheaded them encouraging me to produce my own show, which I knew nothing about. And then, of course, I can't say enough about Christina. Christina's the one that really has helped me a lot in terms of directing. But other than that, I just want to say that producing a show, I welcome people to come in and produce, get an idea, put a show together, get your...
What kind of time commitment, Jose, do you
spend? It depends on how clean you want to make the show, you know. But the biggest thing is that it does take time. It's a big responsibility, and don't take it lightly, because if you're going to make a commitment that you're going to put on a show every 2 weeks or every 30 days, then you better do it. And otherwise, whoever is helping you initially, you're putting the burden on them to fill in for you.
So the number to get started is to call Dave in Los Osos at 528-7508 and say you want to be a producer, and
that's
he takes
correct.
Care of you.
He takes care of you. What he'll do is he'll make sure that the your paperwork is ordered, your producer's packet, make sure that your tape is produced with the correct introduction and credits and things like that.
Yeah.
Then you email me a week before our scheduling meeting, and I'll put you on the agenda, and we'll take it from there.
And, Gail, sounds like there's a lot of changes being made in terms of the schedule and the format, how things are done.
Yeah,
so
have
people
a meeting.
Just need to be patient.
We have a meeting coming up on Monday night at the new synagogue, 6:30 p.m. for the public, and all of our producers will be unveiling these policies and procedures that we've talked about today. I would like to urge our listeners, if they watch Public Access, to call Charter at 544-1962 extension. 6111. Sorry, my voice
That's
does
all right.
that. Anyway.
All right, Todd, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I encourage everyone who wants to produce a show to come to us and get on the air. We're open. We want diversity on the channel. It doesn't matter race, sex, religion, color.
No sex.
Ideology.
No sex.
Male or female. I mean, no sex. Well,
Children might be watching.
Welcome, libertarians and atheists. Yes.
Call Dave at 528-7508. A new chapter in your life could begin. Thank you, folks. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Fox News. Back on their side, Galen Whitley Keith will join us. The book is The Father of Hollywood. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. We're back after the news. Stay with us. Tonight's Dave Congleton Show is brought to us in part by our good friends at Spencer's. With convenient locations in Atascadero, Arroyo Grande, Morro Bay, and Santa Maria, they open at 10 o'clock each and every night to serve you. Here are some reasons to visit Spencer's tonight. Broccoli, crowns, or cauliflower on sale, 79 cents a pound. How about Foster Farms chicken breasts at Spencer's, 99 cents a pound. Also, check out Harris Ranch T-Bone Steaks, $4.99 a pound. That's right, $4.99 a pound. Spencer's is also featuring Swiss sausage for $3.69 a pound, organic navel oranges, $1.99 a pound, a three-bag bag of Fuji apples, two bags for $4. All this and more, so much more, only at Spencer's. Arroyo Grande, Morro Bay, Santa Maria, and Atascadero, open at 10 o'clock each and every night to serve you. John Spencer's a heck of a nice guy. He's a big supporter of Hometown Radio. We love supporting John Spencer. Come on and join us. Shop at Spencer's. We're proud to have them as a sponsor of the Dave Congleton Show. Six oh five on the Central Coast. Let me say this. After that last hour, I have earned a vacation to Antarctica. I've earned that trip after that last hour. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hometown Radio. It is Thursday, January 18th, 2007. This is the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Dave Congleton. Glad to have you with us. Let's start things off with Carson Brits continuing to fill in for the vacationing Tom Matson. He's got the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. Taking a look at your traffic commute on your way home this evening. Doesn't look like there's anything to report on the major highways, so good news there. As far as weather's concerned, tonight, mostly clear skies around the central coast. Expected lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s, so just similar to the past couple nights' weather. Also tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. You can also expect some highs in the upper 50s to low 60s all around the central coast. It's currently 60 in Paso Robles, 49 in San Luis Obispo, and 47 in Santa Maria. This portion of the Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by Douglas Buchanan, Attorney at Law. Call Douglas M. Buchanan, Attorney at Law, for free consultation on a will or living trust. Douglas Buchanan even does house calls. 541-6440. Again, that number is 541-6440. And now you're up to date with your time saver traffic and weather together. I'm Carson Brits for the Dave Congleton Show on News Talk 920 KVEC.
All right, thank you, sir. Tomorrow we will have a Best of Dave playing in our absence. Tom Matson will be back on his vacation from Northern California on Monday. I will be gone for the next 2 weeks. We'll have guest hosts. For example, Dr. Scott Robertson and Police Chief Deborah Linden will be here on Monday. Carson is going to be here to help engineer. And Hometown Radio will continue alive and well for 2 weeks. And then Tom and I will be back together on Monday, February 5th. Check out our website, please, at 920kvec.com. where we stream live on the internet as we speak. We also podcast. So if you miss any part of today's show, just go to the website tomorrow morning around 10 o'clock. And you can download the show. You can hear the whole show. You can hear that whole last hour minute for minute. Straight ahead this hour, we're going to bring Carson into the booth later on. And we'll do some kamikaze radio with him and find out more about the man that you've been listening to all week. But first, you know that on Hometown Radio, I'm a big fan of California history. When a book comes across my desk that has anything to do with California history, I'm usually interested. Even just earlier this week, we had Roger Hall on the show talk about Henry Huntington and his life in Southern California. Here's a name that I'm not sure many of you might recall, but he's had a fascinating history in Southern California. We're talking about H.J. Whitley. It turns out that his great-granddaughter, Cal Poly graduate and author Galen Whitley Keith, has told the story of her great-grandfather. It is called The Father of Hollywood. We're pleased to have on Hometown Radio, joining us from Sacramento, Galen Whitley. Keith, hi, Galen.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here today.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. You're a Cal Poly graduate.
Yes, I am. I graduated in 1974, a while ago, with a business major, a marketing concentration, which will come in handy since the book's been published.
Well, you know, Galen, half the chore is writing the book and the other half is marketing it.
Definitely. Yeah.
At what point did you decide to write a book about your great-grandfather?
Well, my mother forever has said, someone needs to write a book about this man. He really was the founding father of Hollywood. And if no one writes it, the history will be lost, which would be a tragedy. So since I can remember, she said, write a book, write a book, write a book. And I just kind of put it off. And then maybe 20 years ago or 25, I tried it kind of before computers came into existence. And I'm using roughly 60 boxes of material, letters, business journals, personal family journals, diaries. Wow. And without a computer, I started and went, oh, this is impossible to organize. And so then I had children, so then that became impossible. And probably about 6 years ago, I was looking through a closet and found one of the boxes with just some journal, and I started reading it, and I thought, oh, I'll just start logging it in, and 6 years later, I have a book.
Wow. And when you were growing up, did your family tell you a lot about your great-grandfather?
He did, but since it's a family thing, you just sort of, as a child, you go, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, they tell you, oh, this is how Hollywood got named, and you go, okay. You don't think too much when it's your family.
Right.
And now I realize nobody... Probably, well, I mean, since the book sold, there's maybe a couple hundred people that know, but that's about all that know really how it got named in the whole world.
Well, but here's an opportunity for you not only to educate people about an important chapter in Southern California history, but to, you know, keep your family's name alive and claim your place in California history.
Right. I actually am, since the book was just published in December, I'm going to be contacting Maria Shriver because there is a California museum.
That's right.
And they are definitely two people that changed the whole world, really, by founding Hollywood. The unique part of my great-grandfather is he is really the reason why Hollywood became Hollywood. He started over 140 towns, and while doing that, he learned that you needed to have a business to make the town thrive. And when the film industry started, he kind of collected producers.
Yeah, now back up a second, because the reason he was starting all these towns is that he was working for the railroad, right?
He did work for the railroad. He was actually on the board of directors, and he started the towns along the way. But he, besides actually doing Hollywood, he also, with a syndicate of five men, founded the San Fernando Valley as well.
Yeah, and just to put it in perspective, we're talking about H.J. Whitley, Hobart Johnstone Whitley. He was born in 1847, and he lived all the way until 1931.
Right.
And he was a major, major player in Southern California in the latter part of the 19th century, early part of the 20th century.
Right. He was an amazing man. I actually, reading all this and seeing all the things he did, the world has greatly changed in the last 100 years, because when he was born, there was no indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
There were all these things, and he was innovative in putting them in Hollywood. Like, he put in the first underground electricity and sewage things, and they did this with horses. And wagons. I mean, so it's a whole different thing. Like, people go, oh, well, that's no big deal. But when you look back and you see the pictures, you realize it was actually a great feat.
It's a California thing. Even back in those days, California led the country in innovation.
Right. And he was definitely an innovator that set up a city that was very unique.
Right. Now, one question before we get into much of the content. I want to ask you about the style of the book, Galen. Why did you choose to write it in the perspective point of view that you did?
Well, actually, my great-grandmother started the book while she was still alive, so it was written in the first person. I tried it actually in the third person, like switching because I was writing it, and it just didn't have the same impact. I mean, this is really her life.
Right.
And it's done from letters and actually chapters of books, journals, all different. And actually my father is still alive, and he obviously knew his grandmother. She lived to 1951. It was his grandmother, my great-grandmother. So he knows pretty much all the history. I've spent a lot of time with my father.
Right. But the story is told from your great-grandmother's point of view, the wife.
Right.
Which I find interesting.
Well, right. It is kind of, it's a sort of a paradox. Like, there's a lot of plays on things, right? It's the father of Hollywood, but it's really written by the mother of Hollywood. Yeah.
But it's also, to me, because I've written some nonfiction in the past, you get the reader more involved in the story this way.
Right.
There's more emotional connection. As opposed to being some kind of impartial researcher or observer on the side.
Right. You do really, by the time you're done, you really do know her. You feel what she feels. And it is actually what she'd written, so it is what she felt.
Sure. The name of the book is The Father of Hollywood. The author is Galen Whitley Keith. How can people buy the book, Galen?
The book is for sale on Amazon. We are working, because it just was published really in December, we are working on getting it in bookstores. Currently, I don't actually live in San Luis Obispo now, so up in Sacramento, it's in local bookstores, but we're hoping to have it in Borders and that in the near future.
What's your website?
It's thefatherofhollywood.com.
That's easy to remember. Thefatherofhollywood.com.
Yes.
It is 6:15 on News Talk 920 KVC. Good evening, everybody. I'm Dave Congleton. We're joined by Cal Poly graduate and author Galen Whitley Keith. Welcome back and continue the conversation. First, this is News Talk 920 KVEC. It is 6:18 on Hometown Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Good evening. Happy Thursday. I'm Dave Congleton. Tom Matson continues on vacation. Here's Carson Britzo with the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Thank you very much, Dave. It doesn't look like that there is anything to report currently on the traffic commute, so congratulations, everybody. Everything looks good out there. Looking at weather, tonight, mostly clear skies around the central coast. Expected lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to the lower 60s are expected. Currently, it's 47 in Atascadero, 48 in Los Osos, 49 in Oceano, and San Luis Obispo, it's 49. And now, you're up to date. That's a look at your time saver traffic and weather together on the Dave Congleton Show. I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KVEC.
Yes, you are indeed, sir. Thank you very much. At the bottom of the hour, we've got Fox News. Right now, we're continuing our conversation with Cal Poly graduate and author Galen Whitley Keith, talking about The Father of Hollywood. We're talking about Hobarth Johnstone Whitley, but really he was H.J. to everybody, right, Galen?
Yes.
And he was born in Canada in 1847. What a tragic early life he had.
Yes, he did. It actually shaped his life and made it so that he was sort of a workaholic to avoid kind of family connections because of all the tragedies.
He lost 4 of his 6 siblings to cholera?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
And didn't he lose his first wife?
To a house fire, so it was kind of a tragic beginning, but it ended up, he found another wife, and he did have a happy life, I think, but he just sort of was a workaholic.
What was his big break?
Well, it was just his personality. He came actually from a wealthy family, so he had a superior education, and he was very intelligent, and he had a gift for attracting people to do. He actually had the gift of getting people to think his ideas were their ideas, and so he didn't have to do much to convince them to join the bandwagon. He had a magical trait that way.
And wasn't he friends with Teddy Roosevelt?
He was friends with Teddy Roosevelt. He was friends with most of the movie producers in Hollywood. Although he stayed in the background, he was the reason they actually came there to stay. He used the movie producers to advertise his land. Long ago, when the silent movies were being filmed, pretty much everything was filmed outdoors. And so all the lands, the bank, the hotel, were all used as sets. And so he offered them. In fact, the first movie ever filmed in Hollywood was filmed on his property.
Hmm. Yeah, because you start the book in 1886, and there's not much there.
Well, there's in Hollywood, there was hardly anything. There was probably like 20 farms, and so he was the person who put in the whole infrastructure. Whitley Heights is currently a historically land preserved area, and the home he had in Hollywood is still there, up on the hill.
Tell the story about how he first came to the land.
He came on his honeymoon with his wife, and they went out riding. It was more orchards out there, and he went up on the hill, saw the valley, saw the ocean, and decided that's where he wanted to build. So he made a handshake deal with a man and bought 500 acres on a handshake, because that's how it was done long ago.
Yeah.
And then he actually didn't really finalize the deal for about 10 more years. He came back. He did do the Oklahoma Run. He went on roundups with Teddy Roosevelt. He knew Charlie Chaplin, so he was just kind of an amazing...
But can you imagine what that view would have been like in those days, standing up on the hillside and looking out over what is now, you know, Santa Monica, Century City, Hollywood, all that stuff? The view he must have had back then?
Oh, it was beautiful.
And what he would think today with the view?
Well, right, because I think he thought, you know, like you get 10,000 people to Hollywood, it would be filled up. As opposed to like 500.
Yeah. Now you write in one part in your book, Galen, that when he first started to work on Hollywood, his vision for it was modeled after villas in Italy.
Right. He sent his architect over to Italy, Spain, to see how the architecture was done on a hillside, and it was a big change from the Victorian era. The Victorian era had obviously the bedrooms upstairs and the kitchen downstairs, and he built on a hill kind of whatever way that fit the hill.
Yeah. Quoting the book, he wanted to design the hill so that each resident was guaranteed a view of the valley and hopefully even a peek at the ocean. Neighborhood streets would meander around crags, offering never-ending panoramic views. The concept of hillside development in Hollywood was new. No two lots would be quite alike.
Right.
The terrain constantly changed with curving streets and steep, gentle slopes.
Yes.
But now today, all the traffic problems.
Well, there is. Yeah, it has changed. And actually, that's one of the things the book gives a real perspective of how the world's changed.
Yeah.
As far as women, because it was written in a women's perspective, she does give a lot of information on the women's movement, women being able to vote. It's something women today take for granted, really.
Galen Whitley Keith is on the Dave Congleton Show. The name of the book is The Father of Hollywood. We're talking about H.J. Whitley, who turns out to be her great-grandfather. And you're absolutely right about the Hollywood connection, because as I recall my history, movies with Thomas Edison and everything were being made in New Jersey and New York. And they were able to entice them out because they gave them a better deal. Come on out, and you can make your movies year-round.
Right. And there were other people vying, like Florida was vying, because it also had the sunshine. And he just had the magical touch to get them. Because really, not only was it California, but he got them to come to Hollywood, because originally they were filming in Los Angeles. And he enticed them to Hollywood. He'd have a hotel where a majority of the stars came to stay, and he did the bank, so it's a place to set up a business district. So he enticed the first map of Hollywood that had, you know, the Hollywood stars. The majority lived in Whitley Heights.
Was he a controversial person, Galen? When you went back and did the research on the newspaper clippings and the journals and stuff, did you find that he was a very controversial man?
No, he wasn't. He was a very honest man. Very hardworking, was a friend to everyone. Everyone that wrote positive things about him.
But he's a developer, Galen.
Yes. Well, he was still honest. I mean, there are honest people.
He's a developer.
Yeah, he was a developer.
But he was a developer in those days when a developer was regarded as a visionary. Again, how times have changed.
Right. Yes, I think the honesty factor may have left a lot of people.
Right. And he wanted the Hollywood connection, you know, just because he wanted people to come to Hollywood. He wanted to put Hollywood on the map.
Yes, he did.
Right.
And he did put it on the map.
But even he would have had to been surprised by how successful he was.
Well, he was surprised at the impact Hollywood had on the world as far as changing it through the movies. But as far as the town being successful, I don't think that was a surprise, because every town he built had been successful in the sense that some towns were built and then kind of faded away, or the buildings were washed away or something, and all his towns still exist.
Yeah. And the thing to stress is that Hollywood was a planned community.
Yes.
You know, it just, there was an original concept as to how this was going to be done.
Right. With having, because he learned to always put in an infrastructure with businesses to keep the town going.
Well, talk about that. What was his vision? What did he try to do with Hollywood as he sketched it out?
Well, he originally had a vision of a boulevard that was like a special boulevard. In the sense, he put in the red car, or he had it put in, so there was like transportation, which to us we just take for granted, but.
Right.
There was no automobile, so having the red car, people could get on and off, travel from Hollywood to Los Angeles for a nickel. So it was actually a great system. We should have kept it, because now with the traffic problems, it'd be really great to have the line running everywhere, but they've taken out the tracks. So he had the vision,
right.
And everything for it. He made a road like that was way wider than the normal road, considering you usually have horse travel. He made one side for cars, one for horses, and the red car ran down the middle. And now the streets are wide enough.
Right. So the streets are wide like in Paris. There's a very European influence here.
Right. Like the Champs-Élysées, yes.
And did this go back to his formal education?
Right. He traveled 17 times to Europe, I believe. He went to Asia, and I know they went around the world once, so they had seen all of the world.
But when you go to Hollywood today, it's just like, this is really a planned city.
Yes, it is.
You know, and it's like, wait a minute, I didn't know that. Because right. Salt Lake City is a planned out community. Washington, D.C., of course, is a planned out community.
Right.
But when I'm in Hollywood, I'd have no idea that this was a planned community.
It was, and he planned to have what was planned out, and also the sense that Hollywood would be the place to be, and then the San Fernando Valley, which he also built, was a place where, like, say, the worker bees could live there. It was less expensive.
I mean, this is a page out of Chinatown. He and the others wanted to take the land in San Fernando Valley and then get it annexed to the city of Los Angeles.
Well, they actually didn't really want to do that. That's what they needed to do, because Theodore Roosevelt made it so that if you wanted any water, that's what you had to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not, they didn't have any choice in the matter, but that was the strategy.
Right, that was the strategy once. Originally, though, they had wanted to be able to buy part of the water and kind of do it a different way. But
yeah, but the bottom line is that they wanted to develop in the San Fernando Valley.
Yes, they did.
All right, we're talking about H.J. Whitley. He is the father of Hollywood. We're talking with his great-granddaughter, author Galen Whitley. Keith, the name of the book is The Father of Hollywood. Let's go to Fox News, find out what's happening in the world. We'll come back for another segment with Galen, talk more about a great-grandfather, then we'll visit with Carson. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. We're back after Fox News. It is 6:34 straight up. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Dave Congleton. Let's go to Carson Britz for the very latest in time-saver traffic and weather together. Carson.
Dave, thank you very much. Looking at time-saver traffic, well, you are going to save a lot of time, because there's good news. There are no traffic collisions or anything impeding you from getting home in a timely manner currently out on the highway. So good news there. Taking a look at Central Coast weather, tonight mostly clear skies around the Central Coast. Expect lows in the upper 20s to the mid-30s, so pretty much just like every other night this week. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy throughout the day. Highs in the upper 50s to the lower 60s are expected. Currently, it's 47 in San Miguel, 47 in Paso Robles, 49 in San Luis Obispo,
48 degrees in Santa Maria and a nice 46 degrees in Los Alamos. That, and now you're up to date. That is a look at your time saver traffic and weather together. I'm Carson Britz for News Talk 920 KBEC.
All right, Carson, thank you very much, sir. I am Dave Congleton. Tomorrow, the best of Dave. Monday, Tom will be back with a series of guest hosts for 2 weeks, and then Tom and I will be back together on Monday, February 5th. We are back now with Galen Whitley Keith, Cal Poly graduate and author. The name of the book is The Father of Hollywood. It deals with her great-grandfather, H.J. Whitley. Again, Galen, how can people buy the book?
They can go to thefatherofhollywood.com. and learn a little bit about him and purchase the book from there.
I think anybody interested in Southern California history would be interested in this book, although even Northern California, because this guy has the worst luck ever. He's even in San Francisco for the earthquake.
Right. Well, he's kind of everywhere. But also we've actually had some Hollywood people buy the book, a copy, so I'm hoping it will actually turn into a movie.
You never know. I think it'd make a great movie.
Yeah, it kind of would be an epic movie.
He's such an interesting guy, and I had heard of Whitley, but I didn't know anything about him. And I had heard of Whitley Gardens before.
Right out of Paso Robles. That was actually the last spot he was planning to develop right before he passed away, so that didn't happen.
You know, we were talking before the news break about the San Fernando Valley. I'm looking here. You also have several photographs in the book, and one is the opening day of Van Nuys in 1911.
Yes.
And it turns out that H.J. Whitley was the force developing the valley. He developed the land into three cities, Van Nuys, Marion, which is now Reseda, and Owensmouth,
yeah.
Now Canoga Park.
Mm-hmm.
So these were all different places. So Reseda used to be Marion.
Yes. Right. So I guess the new people came along and voted and said, we want another name.
Yeah, but my point is here, this guy's fingerprints are all over Southern California.
Right.
I love it. Let me lock Galen in. Here is Phoebe in Cayucas on KVEC. Hi, Phoebe.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Phoebe.
I just want to tell you to have a wonderful trip, take lots of photos, and be safe, okay?
I will, thank you.
All right, but may I ask a question?
Go right ahead.
Which area was considered Whitley Heights? Was it up around Selma? Was it east of Highland? Where was it? The streets in Whitley Heights.
Whitley Heights would run between Wilcox and Highland.
Okay.
Although he did own land from Wilcox to La Brea.
Okay.
Whitley Avenue, if you go up Hollywood Boulevard, there's Wilcox. The next street over is Whitley Avenue.
Oh, okay. I used to work at the old Hollywood Citizen News, and it was on Wilcox, but I didn't remember Whitley Avenue. Okay.
Right.
And then that was above Hollywood Boulevard?
Right. It is above Hollywood Boulevard. So if you go on up Whitley Avenue, up the hill, you come across like Grace Avenue, which was his daughter, and Emmett, which is my grandfather's middle name, and then there's some business partners' names up there as well.
I'll be darned. That is great.
Yeah.
I was raised in that area. Yeah. I lived there until I ran away from home.
And so, Stevie, do you know the name H.J. Whitley?
It does not ring a bell with me.
Yeah.
No.
See, Galen, you got to have to write this book to get your great-grandfather's name back.
Right. I'm going to go find that book.
Right, to have it be known, really, like there is Whitley Avenue, so there is
right.
a street, but
right.
and there's Whitley Heights, which is the historically preserved, but he actually kept his name purposely. I mean, he was known as the father of Hollywood, so while he was alive, mm-hmm. but he tried to keep his personal life kind of separate from his work. So he wasn't out to claim glory, although the Los Angeles Times called him the father of Hollywood.
That's terrific.
He's buried in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. On his gravesite, it says the father of Hollywood.
And he's got a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Well, right. he's hoping to have I think he deserves a star since he was.
Well, I thought I saw a photo with his name. Yeah, on the back of the book.
On the back of the book, you did, but we're suggesting they give him
I
a
see.
Star on the corner of. Actually, Highland and Hollywood Boulevard.
Because, oh, that would be great.
Because he owned that, and he originally put the hotel, which right now is where the Academy Awards are handed out, was where he built his hotel.
Oh, sure. At CBS.
He's the father of Hollywood, but he doesn't have a star on the Hollywood Hall of Fame?
No,
of fame?
No,
he should. He definitely should.
Yes.
Well, thank you for your story. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great story. It was a very exciting, interesting man.
I'm glad you called, Stevie. Thank you very much.
Okay, Dave. Have a great time.
Thank you, dear. We're here with Galen Whitley Keith. The name of the book is The Father of Hollywood, and you can order this wherever you buy your books, or you can go to Galen's website, thefatherofhollywood.com, and order it for yourself. So the other thing to talk about here, Galen, the real story behind Hollywood is the name itself. It started out Hollywood Land.
No, Hollywood Land occurred later. Actually, the first sign that was put up was Whitley Heights.
Right.
It was put up in lights, and then he had other business partners that he had developed, the San Fernando Valley, that had land kind of over a ways, and they were trying to figure out how to market it, and he suggested they do a sign that said Hollywood Land. They were just advertising the sale of land.
Yeah.
And eventually it became the Hollywood sign.
Yeah. But it started out as a real estate sign.
Right. It was only supposed to be there about a year and then be taken down. And then it just evolved to stay forever.
But you know, no offense, but doesn't Hollywood sound cooler than, you know, Whitley?
Well, that's just...
Where are you going, little girl? I'm going to go to Whitley and be a star.
Well, right. He did name the town Hollywood.
Yeah.
So he actually chose the name Hollywood. But they have to buy the book to find out how the name happened.
Here is Noreen in Lompoc on KVEC. Hi, Noreen.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Noreen. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited for you for your trip.
Thank you.
Very excited for you. And I have some advice for you that I haven't heard.
All right.
Take lots of airborne.
Oh, I've been taking an airborne every day for the last week.
Okay, good.
And
good,
I'm healthy.
Good. Because that's the worst thing to do is get something on the plane or... You know, in the closed quarters, and then you're sick through the whole thing.
I ain't gonna let that happen.
But I wanted to say to your guest, your story is absolutely amazing. I actually grew up in Tahunga, and my parents are from Glendale and Pasadena, and grew up in that area and have spent lots of time in Hollywood. I actually had a grandfather that in the 20s was one of the first Tarzans.
Huh.
And he went to the Academy Awards that year and has pictures from the Academy Awards. So I just really enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to go on the website and order the book. And I just thought it was really great.
It's thefatherofhollywood.com.
Okay, I will definitely go on there because I just think the story is fascinating.
You want to comment at all, Galen?
Oh, I thank you for the compliment. It is a great story, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to reading the whole story.
Right, it's a fascinating history.
Oh, great.
And it's true.
And great photographs.
I thank you very much for going to taking your time and putting this all down in writing. I heard the beginning of it that you were saying that if it hadn't gotten written down, that it would probably end up being forgotten over time. And
right.
And
it would be a lost history. And because my great-grandmother actually wrote the basis of the book to begin with, she lived the history that's written there.
Oh, well, it is just, like I said, it's just fascinating, and I love it.
You'll enjoy the book, Noreen.
I'm sure I will, and Dave, have a great trip.
Thank you, Noreen. The name of the book is The Father of Hollywood. The website is thefatherofhollywood.com. Galen Whitley Keith is on the Dave Conkleton Show. Given all that he has done, and you detail it greatly in the book, why was he been overlooked? Why isn't he been given the credit?
I think what happened is people, well, for I can give you an example. Hollywood Boulevard, there's things saying Wilcox put it in, but the road, Mr. Wilcox died in the 1800s, and the road really wasn't put in until the 1900s. So he couldn't have put it, but people claim all kinds of things.
Mm.
Yeah, so that I think that's just what happened, and he liked work, and he'd rather write it than bother to get the glory. He didn't.
Yeah, he needed his own publicist, Galen.
Well, he did, but he was somewhat, when he was alive, he was known as the father of Hollywood because, like, the Los Angeles Times and the different places did write it. The Hollywood Sentinel, and I guess just with time, because no books were written, other people claim different. You know, I did it, and he's dead, and yeah, that's what happened.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about H.J. Whitley?
I think there probably isn't too much misconception because he's not well known. But if you look to really the fact that Whitley Heights is there, then you can tell that he actually did what he, you know, said he did. I mean, if you look, actually, even on the internet now, shows that Teddy Roosevelt did speak at his bank on the 4th of July. So there is documentation of pretty much everything he said. It just somehow, maybe it was at the time he was alive, people didn't know to record it.
Well, you just say in the back of the book that this story goes a long way towards erasing the misconceptions about H.J.'s life and career.
Right.
So, all right, here's Robin in Los Osos on KVEC. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Hey,
hi.
Bon voyage, Dave.
Thank you, Robin.
You are going to have a wonderful time, and take a ton of pictures and put them on your blog if you can.
Thanks for putting even more pressure on me, Robin.
Yeah, well, okay. You know, invite us all over to your house to see them, or to Fred.
Okay.
Well, this book sounds really intriguing. I'm eager to read it. I don't know if it got addressed at all earlier in the evening because I haven't been able to listen the whole time, but you know, Hollywood and the film industry saw a lot of families through the Depression in Southern California. People who were out of work got work in the film industry, whether they were carpenters or, you know, extras in films and things like that. And Hollywood really helped keep Southern California alive at a time when people were very hungry in this country.
Galen?
It did. He planned that. That's actually why he drew the film industry. He saw the potential in it. There was other potential. He actually built an organ factory, which was for the silent movie, so that he had that as a viable industry as well. Obviously, the house building, he owned a jewelry store, so he had lots of things going, the hotel, the bank, so it did keep a lot of people from going to breadlines.
I know that one of my great-grandfathers, he ended up becoming a carpenter at Warner Brothers. He just threw his toolbox over the fence every day and started working. And finally one day the foreman said, "Hey, we haven't been paying you, have we?" And he said, "No, I just need to go to work. You know, there's no work anywhere, and I just need to work." And he said, "We're going to put you on the payroll." And that kept, you know, my family fed.
Right. He did set up something that really changed the world in all different kinds of ways.
Then he should get the credit that he deserves.
He should.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Robin,
thanks,
thank
Dave.
You.
Have a great trip.
Thank you, dear. Here is John in Los Osos on KVEC. Hi, John.
Hey, David.
Hey, John.
Hey, I just want to wish you the best of luck, and I think you'll have a wonderful time down in Antarctica.
Is your voice okay, John?
Yeah, I just got done eating dinner.
Oh.
David, you'll have a great time. I went around Cape Horn on the Nimitz, USS
yeah.
Nimitz, and it was spectacular, and I can't even imagine how beautiful Antarctica would be. So I just think, almost kind of envy. I'd love to go down there, too, and I think it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. I just want to wish you all the best.
That's nice of you, John. Ever been to Hollywood?
Yeah, of course I have.
Well, then ask a question of our author.
Well, I just called up to say goodbye. Anyway,
can I ask her a question about her great-grandfather? She's written a book about her great-grandfather.
He was the founder of Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Oh, think of a question. Jeez.
What was his favorite part of Hollywood? That's what John wants to know. What was his favorite spot in all of Hollywood, Galen?
His favorite spot would be on Grace Avenue. They had built like a pavilion up there that had a view of the whole valley.
Well, here's a question. Now, the Hollywood Bowl, we've gone there and seen a couple of concerts. What is the history of the Hollywood Bowl? How long has it been there? Who developed that? Who came up with the idea of that?
It was a civic group that formed together to do that. He actually didn't per se have any really tie. There was a musical group that came together. The high school raised funds to do that. In fact, the reason the high school was actually in Hollywood is there wasn't enough children to begin with in Hollywood, and he gave people free rent to come live in Hollywood so there'd be enough students so they could open the high school.
Okay.
But that's a side note on that. But the group got together, and they went out looking for a place because they wanted to bring part of his idea. He was involved, but he wasn't really the head of the Hollywood Bowl thing, but is to get culture to Hollywood.
Sure, sure. Well,
that's a good question, John.
Hey, David, well, once again, we'll see you. What, you're going to be gone for 3 weeks, right?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. We'll see you back in February.
You will, John.
And hopefully we'll get back into a raining season here, get some rain.
I hope so, too, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye, David.
You. Bye. Here's Lance in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Lance.
Dave, how you doing?
All right, Lance. Say hey. Hi to Galen.
Hi, Galen. I'll tell you, it's interesting. I'm definitely going to buy this book because there's a writer, Michael Connelly, who writes detective novels out of the LAPD and does a very good job of talking about Southern California and where things are and everything. And the latest one I'm reading is about Echo Park and Beechwood Canyon up in the Hollywood Hills, and so this is going to tie right in because it's a fascinating how this whole area started, and it's interesting to hear her recount her great grandfather's how he did it, and I did know that it was a planned community at one time, and the Hollywood Land sign was there, but I didn't know that he also did the Valley, which I find interesting.
Galen?
Well, I do. I think he realized you had to have a place where the wealthy people lived, and then you needed a spot actually for the working man. So that's why he developed both areas, really. Hollywood was where the stars and the directors and producers lived, and the working people lived in the Valley.
Galen, was there any relationship between him and Mulholland?
He did know Mulholland, but he was really... There were really five men that formed a syndicate, and Mulholland was not one of them. Mulholland worked more for the water district.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. So he did have connections as far as when the San Fernando Valley needed water and was annexed into L.A. County.
Yeah.
They
okay.
did know each other. And in fact, my father knows Mulholland's daughter, so they still have contact.
Well, Christine Mulholland's a San Luis City Councilwoman. She's the great-granddaughter of Mulholland. She's here in this town.
Is she the one that's actually written the book then about...
No, that's her mother or
her
aunt.
Mother,
her
yeah.
aunt.
That's yeah. actually who my father knows as the yeah. author.
The granddaughter's here in San Luis, and Lance is a big fan of hers.
Oh, so.
Dave.
I gotta go, Lance.
Dave, hey, have a great trip. Bring back a penguin.
I will, just for you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, sir. We got time for one more call. It's Kathy in Cambria on KVEC. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
We're going. Kathy, what's up?
Good. Well, just a quick question for your guest. My grandmother grew up in Hollywood in the 1920s, and I was just wondering if she knew anything about the Hollywood School for Girls.
I don't.
Does that ring a bell at all?
I know there was one there, but I don't really know too much about that, no.
I was just curious. I don't remember where it was actually located. So
there was one on Hollywood Boulevard. It was run by two ladies. I'm not sure if that's the one you're referring to.
Don't know.
Kathy's going to have to buy the book and find out.
I guess I will. All right, Dave, thanks so much and have a great trip.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. At the top of the hour, we have Fox News at 7:04. It's the one, the only, Clark Howard. I want to thank Galen Whitley Keith for coming by today and joining us on Hometown Radio. The book is The Father of Hollywood. The website is thefatherofhollywood.com. A salute to the late, great H.J. Whitley. Final thoughts, Galen?
Well, I just hope you have a great trip. Along with everyone else, everyone deserves a great vacation.
Absolutely.
And where you're going sounds very exciting.
Maybe I'll get a book out of it.
Yes.
All right, Galen, good luck with the book.
And thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being had. It is 6:53 on News Talk 920 KVEC. When we come back, we will give Mr. Britz his 15 seconds of fame. Carson Britz, that's lesson number two.
What's that?
Of talk radio.
Clark Howard?
Lesson number one is you don't sweat things. If if Don Legg doesn't call in on time, whatever, you just go with the flow.
Okay.
You just never let it get to you.
Yeah.
And number two, never make predictions about how a segment is going to go. We had 7 phone calls for that author, and they were all unsolicited.
Yeah.
People just decided to call in and take over the show, which was fine.
It's good, though. It shows people are captivated. It's your interviewing skills.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, Carson, I don't know, I appreciate you working with us this week and filling in for Tom.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
Tomorrow, it's just the best of Dave.
Yeah.
And I'm out of here. But you're going to be here all next week, too, I guess.
You know, actually, I'm not.
Oh, you're not.
No, we actually had a little mix-up today. And I'm going to be gone most of next week, so Tristan is actually going to do all next week.
Well, what's wrong?
Oh, I'm going to go to Sacramento. I'm going to go to the American Society of Enological and Viticulturists Conference for 3 days.
What's that?
Basically, I'm going to taste wine for 3 days.
Okay.
And learn.
So you're like the man of the world. You're going to Thailand. you went to Europe and you're singing. Now you're going to a wine tasting conference?
I don't know. I like to, you know, I'm kind of jack of all trades, not good at nothing kind of thing. I don't know. I studied ag business.
What was your major at Cal Poly?
It was ag business.
Yeah.
And I took I don't know. I'm all over the place. I don't know what I want to do.
So how'd you get into radio?
Just a passion, I guess. I've always loved radio as a kid. Ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to do radio. So then I applied for a mediocre position. Actually, it was a low on the totem pole. You remember that when I was out on the streets.
You were a street teamer.
Going
well, that's how Tristan events. Started.
Yeah, that's right. That's how Tristan started too.
And then, that's when Tom started, but when Tom started, there were no streets.
Horseback. if only he were here right now to defend himself.
When Tom started, it was telegraph. So why weren't you a radio major?
Because
you wanted money.
No, well, I wanted
next
to.
Next dumb question.
No, because I figured if I could do this, you know, if I could do radio, I may as well have a good, you know, some sort of business background, you know, something that was practical and still be able to do what I want or do what's interesting to me on the side, kind of as a hobby.
Management material.
Possibly.
You're on that management track.
I don't know. We'll see.
A Rich Hawkins in the making.
Oh, I don't know if I could ever live up to that.
Just remember to treat your talent well.
I will.
Be nice to your on-air talent.
Compensate them.
And if I need a quintuple bypass operation, don't fire me the week before like they're doing up at KPRL. You promise not to do that?
And just as long as you remain as loyal as you've been, I can say with assuredness that I would not do that.
That's
to
the
you.
New slogan at KPRL. We're all heart here. All heart at KPRL.
That's terrible. You're always getting in trouble, Dave.
Well, hey. Am I wrong?
Would you
fire somebody?
No, Dave,
the week before
I would not.
They're to have quintuple bypass surgery?
I think it's terrible. Right, I agree. I agree with you. But I do want to say, I really hope that you have a great trip.
Thank you.
I think you're going to have I'm jealous. I hope to get there one day.
Well, I don't know. Thank you, Carson.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, everybody. I don't know what's about to happen, but I'll see you in 2 weeks. Here we go. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Tanner, Simon, Snoopy, and Ginger. Get off the couch. Get out the leashes. We're going to Antarctica. We'll see you. Take care.